This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes.
Thank you
very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. There is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. Don't call me again.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh!
And welcome to Goddamn Best of Don and Mike on this. Well, it's just a simply lovely, lovely Wednesday afternoon here in Washington, D.C. It's gray. It's getting colder. I guess spring and summer are over. We're just going to move right into November. That's how it is over here on the Mid-Atlantic. But I hope the weather is fine where you are today. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, with you. And I've got, guess what I've got? I know you know this. It's a big old heap and steaming plate full of the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike on spring break. And you know what they're doing. That's right, they're conquering all the wet t-shirt contests down in Florida and Point South. They'll be back sooner than you know it, though. And so let's get right into it. And as you know, all this week we've been following the saga of homeless Lisa, the girl who was staying in Don and Mike's office. She's been there for, I don't know, a day or two now, and it's time for an update with homeless Lisa and Joshua Tree on the Best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Let's get right to Lisa and Joshua Tree.
Lisa, homeless Lisa,
and Joshua Tree, who is, of course, the guy who is protecting her this week at the station.
Right.
Time to find out about the sexcapades last night.
Yeah,
here she comes. Oh, you guys look tired.
Hi there, Lisa.
You guys
Hi,
look tired.
Hi, Joshua Tree.
How you doing, Phil?
Hi there. Okay. Now, let's start with Lisa. Now, you might remember Lisa came to us last week late in the show. We got a phone call. She's homeless. She was drunk and homeless, calling us from her car.
Right.
And we said, come on. She starts a job at Home Depot. Or did you get offered a better job that you're going
to
take instead
Possibly.
Of that?
Possibly. I have to talk to Amy.
Okay. Either way, she's out of here on Friday. We're giving her a room and boarding for the week. Mm-hmm. She's sleeping in her office here at night and in an...
Don.
Yeah?
Lisa's chewing gum.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Very well.
Did you just swallow it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Bet you've heard that before.
Oh.
And maybe you'll be able to work at home. Maybe you'll be able to work at Homeless Depot.
Ah.
Uh-huh. So anyway, she's very nice, and she's homeless. And
wonderful.
And she's staying in our office
from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Right.
And in her car during daylight hours.
But somehow, well, we heard a rumor that maybe that got changed a bit last night.
So last night you met a friend of yours?
Last night, my best friend, Thane, was working in Falls Church yesterday and stopped by to say hi and brought some beer with him and had a couple of drinks.
Rob's applauding beer.
With me while, listening to the show. And then Amy, who called.
Oh, is this when you were in your car last night?
This was yesterday after. Around 7.
There was beer.
When I say last night, I meant like towards the end of the show because when we were down in the parking lot, Buzz and I, as always, were commiserating. I was saying, like, well, I'm going to go home and watch American Idol. And he was just giving me that, okay, yeah, you're an ass. And then I heard the beep beep from behind it. I should have thought this. I saw Lisa wave on the way back, but I saw he was there as well, wasn't he?
Your gentleman caller was there?
He's my best friend in the whole world.
Celebrity he most resembles from a distance would be Kevin Federline.
Oh, he's a Federline guy. Is he a BC?
It's from a distance.
A BC.
Booty call?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right.
He's just came by to say hi.
Mm-hmm.
We have breaking news. Excuse me.
Oh.
A very, 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 very angry Robert the Mailman.
Really?
Well, sure.
Bobby.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Robert.
Yeah, you're on there, Bob.
We can hear
you. How dare she not... I thought about this yesterday. She's unfocused. She got a lot of problems, man. I'm really pissed off about that lasagna thing, man. And I'm not a player hater. The guy, if he banged her out, more power to him. I don't care. But why wouldn't you accept my gift of food and let it sit there and rot?
As a courtesy.
You know how much that costs? I mean, you and Kevin Federline, is he your best friend? Why don't you stay with him? Why is he coming to visit you at a radio station?
That is
a problem.
Okay.
Well, now, Robert, calm down. Let's get an answer here.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. This is our friend Robert.
Brought
you food, brought you lasagna yesterday.
I was tired. I cooked that lasagna yesterday.
Robert probably heard what I was saying when I came in today. I mean, actually, today, I walked by and I saw the little cubicle where he had put his lasagna. Right. And maybe one portion, right? Maybe one person. Hold on. Joshua Tree, you had some? So you had some.
Good for you.
And the rest of it was untouched.
Tell Robert, how was it what you ate?
He's giving it a thumbs up, Robert.
Robert, that lasagna was unbelievable. I had to sit down for 45 minutes after I ate it.
Well, it's a little rich, and I understand that, but you understand, Don, that I actually feel bad. I'm like, he's homeless. What's the story behind it? I really don't know, But to go out and to be in the parking lot, not eat my lasagna, if you didn't want it, I don't want to call her name, but I'm very, very upset.
She's right here. She's right here, Robert.
Can I please explain something to you? My friend Amy, who called the station yesterday, who I haven't seen in 11 years, I knew her in high school, came by yesterday around 7 o'clock with her husband Brian, who I also went to high school with. They drove all the way from West Virginia where they live. And both of them have offered to try to help me get a job. And they said, we got a babysitter for the evening. We heard that you brought dinner, but could we possibly take you to dinner? And I said,
no.
Well,
Robert, Robert.
And
Robert.
I went with my other friend. The four of us went to a Mexican restaurant nearby. And
I don't give a S.
I know you don't, and I'm sorry.
He is Robert the Angry Man.
Yes, he is.
Very, 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 very.
I'm
very
really angry. Upset about this.
I am. All I can do is apologize.
$100. No.
Now I can't even understand him.
Your phone's
just
breaking
screaming
up.
Into the phone. And it's not like anybody could, enjoy that lasagna now because no one had bothered to put it in the refrigerator.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, yes. Robert.
Hi, Robert.
I should come to the station. I'm not mad, but I'm not.
He doesn't want a domestic charge. That's smart.
I feel bad for her, and I'm thinking to myself, she is a prisoner. What is the problem? And she's psycho.
Oh, now, Robert, you don't know that. Now, why are you saying such mean things?
Because you appreciate. I don't give a damn if they drove. Where are these friends? Before you got on the Dynamite Show.
Lisa, did you enjoy...
Hold on, Robert.
Lisa, did you enjoy any of Robert's breakfast food that he brought? I remember the cinnamon Cheerios, I think.
You think I care if she ate some of that damn cereal?
Robert, I'm seeing if we can repair this.
Robert is dominating... Robert, hold on. As always, you're dominating. There are callers asking to speak to you now, Robert, during this Lisa segment. Hello.
Speak to me. Hello.
Hello. You're on the air with Robert.
I believe Robert is angry because she didn't want to hang out with him. And maybe
she
doesn't like fat people with man boobs.
Not true, a-hole. Not true. I don't care about
you. Accept that and move on with your life.
Let me tell you something, Hop. I came in
maybe she wants someone with higher goals than being a postal worker.
I'm a nice guy for picking food because they know how I am.
Yeah. Maybe she doesn't date men with dentures.
You can go to hell, chump. You probably got a kid by last night trying to get laid.
You're just mad because you have boobs too, just like she does.
I don't care. She has sex with the back line of the...
Blah, 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 blah. Hey, do you...
Oh, my God.
I'm saying I bought food. I left. How awkward would it have been if I had stayed around and those guys came?
Oh, remember that. I'm Robert the Hurry Man with my teeth out.
You're a punk. You're a no-talent B, okay? So kiss my ass.
And you have 15.
Get off the phone. Faggot?
Daddy?
Yeah.
Are you a B-cup?
Final salvo, faggot.
Hey, I'm going to come in and get my lasagna.
You're going to come and get it, Robert?
You're a bitch. You know that? You're a bitch, man. You're a real bitch. Okay?
Well, you're the one with the boobs, not me.
Probably watch American Idol and vote too, don't you?
That would make you a woman, not me.
Hey, I was trying to be nice, man. I got phone calls from my friends saying what a nice guy I was to do what I did. I feel good about him, but I knew something was wrong.
Oh, my God. This is like Jerry Springer. Okay.
I'm going to get rid of,
Robert, you're the only one left on the phone.
Robert,
right,
Lisa has said that she's not done explaining. She wants to explain things. So if you listen to her for a second.
Well,
honestly, I'm the only one who will talk to her, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you, that's what happened. My friends did come in, and I was looking forward to your lasagna. Maybe I should have asked. It would have been cheaper for them. They took me to dinner, asked, Joshua Tree here to bring the lasagna outside, and we all could have had some. It didn't even cross my mind, and I really apologize.
Now listen to that, Robert.
That was
a heartfelt apology.
That was a real apology, Robert.
Stay homeless.
Wow.
All right.
As you can tell, he's a forgiving man.
Nice talking to you, Bob.
Thanks, Robert.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
That was fun.
He's a very forgiving man.
Stay homeless.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know what's nice is that, I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, when Robert came in doing all those nice things and smiling, I'm always very uncomfortable with that. I really like it when we see the real Robert come through, and that's what you got a taste of right
okay,
there.
Okay, so as you tried to explain to Robert, and we'll pick the story up, you had friends from West Virginia who heard you on the show, a long way away, made the drive to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They took you out to eat at the Mexican place last mm-hmm. night. You had some beer. Now, here's where I want to ask you what happened, because you describe a male and female, a married couple that showed up.
Yes.
Yet, what I heard was that there was some other guy that you wanted to bring back into our office.
Well, they left. They got a call from the babysitter, and they left. We came back here, and it was my friend Dane, and I was, I didn't know what the rules were. He is a friend. He's a platonic friend.
Where'd he come from?
He lives nearby. That's the person's house I shower at, and the person that I can't stay at his house because his roommate doesn't like me.
I don't remember all that, but okay.
So you wanted him to come back to the office.
Well,
He
had been drinking, and I didn't want him to drive.
Okay, so you really had three. I'm not busting balls. You're trying to clarify. You had three friends show up. You had a couple show up,
right?
And then
saying you're trying to break the rules. I mean, this is just. Right. I mean, that's not what this is about. We just want to find out what happened.
So then the married couple leaves because their babysitter's going to leave, and now you're left with your friend who you were friends with before you came on the show,
right.
And he's too drunk to drive.
Right, and I didn't want him to drive.
All right, well, that's good.
And
wanted to jump his bones,
no,
right?
No, that's not true at all.
You
we
know?
Stayed up. No, he passed out. And we were sitting in my car, and he passed out, and you're not supposed to be a legal liability. There's not supposed to be any sleeping in the parking lot, which is why I have to stay in office. And so I stayed up with him, sitting in my car, as he slept. And then this morning he got up and he left.
So you're
very apologetic.
So did you stay up all night?
Basically, yeah. I've had, I left this morning. He got in his truck and drove and went and had, he bought me breakfast to apologize. And I took a nap for about an hour and a half and I haven't slept.
So you stayed up all night with the drunk friend.
I didn't want him to drive and I don't
and
want an unoccupied.
There wasn't even a little, you know.
No, we talk. We talk.
Well, you can talk. You can talk.
Yeah. I know it would be a better story if there had been pumping, but there was no pumping.
No pumping. So no pumping occurred in the car whatsoever.
No.
And
or outside the car.
When you brought him back to the office, that's when your bodyguard, our friend Joshua Tree,
and I felt,
said, sorry, the rules are nobody can come
and
in.
I
so he's doing his
understood.
Job.
Right.
Tree, that's correct, because, you know, we can't have any, you know.
And I felt that. I thought I should go in there because he... he's getting paid, but I'm sure he didn't mind not following me around to the
all right, so,
all night.
So
but,
what we heard was less exciting, maybe, well, you know, based on, you know, if we believe you or not.
Okay.
You just spent the night in the car with your drunk friend because that's the type of sweet homeless girl you are. Now, let's talk to Joshua Tree for a second. Joshua Tree, what is the talk about you?
Yeah, now speaking of activity.
Yes, now, so you are, while she's in the car, with the guy allegedly sleeping, you're still in front of the door to our office in a sleeping bag, and we have pictures of all of this on our website at DonandMikeWebsite.com. So you're sleeping in front of the office, right?
Yeah, well, I at first was kind of worried that Lisa was needed something, or maybe I should be, you know, getting her if she needed something. I still had this kind of babysitter mentality about it.
Right.
And after a while, when she didn't call to come back inside, I thought I got stood up by a homeless girl. So
did you know that she was in the car out in the parking lot?
I knew she was in the car because the car was there.
Did you even check on her?
Oh, yeah, a couple.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And he said he had work to do. He's going to hunt some ghosts. And,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Where did this thing about the your companion in the sleeping bag? Tell us how this happened.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Well, you know, I'm the promotions coordinator here, and we had an event.
Yes, Josh.
Josh Tree.
And we had an event very early this morning with Junkettes, which are, like you said, cheerleaders for the junkies.
Right.
And they were supposed to be at a car wash, and they are notoriously late, and I'm responsible for them and managing their schedules.
Right.
And when they do bad things, I get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I insisted that she do whatever she needs to do to be...
Get in your sleeping bag? You insisted that she get in your sleeping bag.
I insisted that she do whatever she needed to do to be at that event on time this morning.
And that meant spending the night with you in the sleeping bag?
It was her idea, and I was not going to say no.
Wow. Okay, so let me, how do I put this? What, did you zip the bag up?
No, it was used as a blanket.
What did she wear?
As a blanket.
What did she wear? When it was time to actually get sleepy, what did she slip into for her evening wear?
She was wearing black.
She was barren?
She was
wearing... you said barren.
I heard you barren. Said barren. You know, I don't
she
know what the hell.
She was wearing black stretchy pants and a tank top.
Sexy.
Wow.
And you, of course, were what, nude?
Footy pajamas?
I was wearing just my pants and without a shirt. I was just wearing pants and a shirt.
Jesus, now hold on.
Hold on a second. So she's got a tank top on. Does she have a bra on?
No, her boobs are so fake you don't need a bra.
Wow.
Well, you're scoring some points right now.
It's a compliment.
I want to tell you, she's going to be hopping in your sleeping bag again now.
Well, wow.
No, these girls so much. We're friends. And so.
I bet you are.
Are they hard?
The boobs?
Her boobs.
Yeah.
Okay. I won't ask. Yeah, thank you, Lisa.
Because she let me test them out. Because I had never touched fake boobs
before.
Wait,
did this happen last night? You test drove them last night?
This morning at the event.
I told at the event.
Time. Yeah.
Wow. You know, why doesn't the station hire us some cheerleaders? We call them the Donna Mike.
Damn right.
The Donna Mike pumps. I'm serious.
We can get cheerleaders if you want.
The pumpettes.
We can get cheerleaders.
I mean,
every show ought to have cheerleaders.
Here's the thing. I don't want to sugarcoat it. That's the Don and Mike Show whores. The pumps.
You're not going to get anyone if you call them the Don and Mike Show whores.
Oh, I've just been... Is this her? Somebody give me a picture.
Yeah, that's her. That was her this morning.
Those are fake?
Yes. They're good. Somebody did a good job.
They look nice.
Can I see?
You say they're rock hard, huh?
Well, you can feel when flesh stops and you hit silicone.
Yeah.
That's the weird part.
Where did she have the injections? Underneath or through the nipple?
I think they're through her armpits.
Wow.
Her armpits.
Fancy.
That's fascinating.
How hard were they? As hard as concrete, Nerf?
It was in like an unripe orange.
Wow, that's pretty
very
hard.
Solid, yeah.
It's pretty. It was pretty firm.
Wow.
The ones you got, like, if you
you've seen them too.
Yeah, but
how do they look? That's the most important thing.
Of course,
they look like they're staring at you.
Mm-hmm. Hypnotizing you,
they do.
This is fascinating.
Like, I mean, like,
and she's got to be real happy wherever she is right now. How you doing, honey?
Yeah.
No, they're phenomenal. They're fantastic.
Oh,
looking.
Right.
But
sounds like
it. Well, it looks like the whole package is pretty nice.
No, she's incredibly good looking. She's gorgeous.
Right. So she spent the night in your sleeping bag. Nothing happened in the sleeping bag, but then later when you went to the appearance and she only came in to sleep so she could make it on time, she let you feel her fake boobs.
Right.
Today.
The conversation.
So let's just recap here. So Joshua Tree's having sex in the sleeping bag here on the radio station while Lisa's out having sex with a drunk man in the car.
See what happens when we go home.
It's amazing. I mean, this is just this turns into a brothel at
Sodom
night.
And Gomorrah.
It's amazing. What was that other picture?
Oh, it's another picture of the pump.
I see.
Of the junkie's pump. Is that her too? It's from the ass. It's shot behind.
That's her too. Oh,
that is a pretty fine log splitter right there.
You wouldn't know.
There is.
Wow.
I bet you'd like to touch that, Mike.
You're repelled by that?
No, it's beautiful. Here's the thing.
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful ass. But you know what that is? A hands-free zone.
Hands off.
Not a chance.
Hands-free zone, please.
Not a chance.
Give me mittens and maybe. Oven mitts.
Right.
Catcher's mitt.
Looks like she's wearing one of those bathing suits that you actually tan through. Very sheer.
What she's wearing in this picture where she's at the event this morning?
No,
now,
here.
Now, Lisa, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Are you at all, even remotely, just even if it's a nana, are you even just a little jealous, a little turned on that your protector was spending the night? You've seen the pictures. She's a hot girl, big, nice. He says beautiful fake boobs, a little hard, but still they're perfect. He got to feel her boobs.
Am I jealous of her or jealous of him?
not of him.
Hold on a second. Maybe we tapped into something here.
No.
Do you play on that team?
I'm glad somebody got some last night because I was babysitting a drunk boy.
Do you occasionally play for the other side?
No.
All right.
No.
Good for you. All right. Hold on a second. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. Just wanted to let you guys know, Lisa was offering a job on the Junkie Show this morning.
Were you really offered a job by the Junkies today?
I have no idea. I didn't talk to them.
They were having a problem with their Junkettes about this car wash thing they were doing, and they mentioned Lisa being upstairs, and they said they'd go get her.
You know, it's amazing, but I think that if they were having a problem with the Junkettes, it's because Joshua Tree here screwed up.
Yeah. Well,
he's sleeping with them. He shouldn't be sleeping with
Josh,
them.
I mean, I shouldn't say this to you on the air, but, you know. Actual say harassment, hey, idio they.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
did you have to
also?
What friend?
I'm sorry.
Right, bye.
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 See, I try. When I say friend, that's like the last chance.
Right. Sure, you're doing your very, very best. He was not idiot proof.
Just winked at me.
I did. Sorry.
Buzz just gave me when I say
it was
friend,
a knowing wink.
That's and Buzz is like, you know.
I know what that means.
Right, I got you. Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay, so let me see, Lisa. So you are not emotionally attached in any way to Joshua Tree. I mean, even, you know, like just as friends.
No, I mean, tonight's he's a nice guy.
Tonight's the last night.
Emotionally attached? Hell, she drove him into the arms of another woman. Pretty clear to me that happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tonight is the last night. Is there any chance that there would even, even be like hand-holding or petting,
like
kissing?
Well, everyone else thinks we're lying and Robert thinks I'm lying, so I'll say sure.
Okay.
No one will ever know.
What is the plan? Has there been any kind of plan? Have you two kids talked about the plan for this evening?
No, we haven't. I haven't even been back in here. I haven't talked to them.
There's
together.
Lasagna.
Joshua, what do you have planned for, well, not that you have to have anything planned, you're the protector, but what would you like tonight for you and Lisa?
I was just thinking some TV, and I didn't sleep at all last night. I didn't sleep at all last night.
Down. Can't imagine why.
Well, I didn't either, so.
So, really, I mean, you two both do look exhausted. You really do. So, I don't think it's going to be a crazy night tonight. Is that accurate?
I feel like I'm drunk right now because I haven't slept.
Okay. Welcome to my world, Joshua Tree. 24/7, my friend. All the time.
But I'd have to say, last night, if we're going to say who had the best time, I'd say Joshua had the best time.
Without, I mean, my God.
That is if you take Lisa at her word. that she was not, you know, out, you know, riding the baloney pony out there.
Will anybody else
on Sentra?
will anybody else be joining you tonight?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Sprouse.
Mike Sprouse,
the overnight board op.
He's the overnight board op.
He left out of the call screen room and scared the crap out of me.
Oh, so he did it like just to scare you?
He knew I was hunting for ghosts and tried to scare
me. Oh, how's that going?
Oh, yeah.
That didn't work out so well.
Did you hear anything? Well, how would you even be able to pee? You didn't hear the marching soldiers as you were, you know, rubbing up against, as you were frotching the...
The legs, he had one big fake boob over each ear. Her boobs were like earmuffs.
He didn't hear a damn thing.
Big, hard earmuffs.
She's probably just going, John, what is that sound? I hear like Confederate soldiers marching. He says, no, just hold me closer. Hold me closer,
Mommy. Well, Lisa, are you excited that tomorrow you start on the rest of your life?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the job situation, will you have an answer tomorrow?
I talked to the guy today, and he said he would talk to me tomorrow. So I don't know what that means.
Is this the distribution, the beer distribution guy?
No, this is the old Home Depot.
The Home Depot.
Yes.
Which is kind of your ace in the hole, right?
Yes.
So to speak.
And I need to talk to my newly rediscovered friends about the other possibilities.
Okay.
But it sounds like things are going to get better.
Would you hang out? I remember when Amy called, your friend Amy, that came in from West Virginia.
Yes.
They kind of said that you could hang out at their place.
Yes.
Is that what you're
going to
do?
I wasn't aware until they got here that they lived that far away. So I have $12 and
okay,
you know, no
gas would be
like,
an issue. Sure, I understand.
Maybe at some point, but not right away.
Okay.
So.
Well, maybe we could bust a vein into one of those girls' fake boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Get some
operate the vehicle.
Get some fossil fuel out of there.
I think that really would only be if they were low on oil. That would probably work better as a lubricant than an actual fuel.
Some ethanol.
those very popular new design ethanol boob enhancements. The fake ethanol boobs.
Oh, my God. All the humanity.
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Let me see. We have, I think, look at that. Joe screened this. It's another friend of yours. Do you know someone named Elizabeth?
That would be me.
Hi, Elizabeth. Don and Mike show. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Lisa. I told you I'd call.
Hi.
Hi.
Elizabeth lives in Boston. She listens online.
So she's...
Yes, but I am from Northern Virginia, so I've listened to you guys a long time, and I was just wondering, huh?
Yeah, hold on one second, Elizabeth.
On.
If you're a friend from Boston, we appreciate the fact that you're obviously listening on the internet. That's great. You hear Lisa. Did you know she was homeless before she was on the show?
Yes, I did. We've actually been in touch for about 5 years now. So I've been listening to the whole ordeal. And I actually talked to her yesterday on the phone. So.
All right. So are you going to be involved in her life at all, Elizabeth?
Well, I'm going to try to support that baby we had, you know, but there's not much I can do.
You know what that means? That means N-O.
She doesn't care.
No.
Not a real friend there, Lisa.
She's called to get her voice on the radio.
Not a true friend.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I enjoy your show a lot. I'm calling from Lafayette, Louisiana.
We appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, Joe is retarded. He hung up on me a few times.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well.
Joe.
All right, bye-bye. I'll blame that one on Joe. All right, Lisa and Joshua Tree, tonight, last big night, sleeping in the office. Joshua, good luck to you.
Thank you. If you're going to be alone tonight, Joshua, I, for one, and I know Buzz feels the same way, we'd really like to have you step up the ghost hunt. I'd like to know what's going on in here.
Okay, right. I'm going to be on it all night.
And also,
he'll be on it all night.
He's well-rested and ready to go.
And also, I hope that, you know, you're like valet in a spray, that tonight, you know, you really cater to whatever Lisa's needs are.
So last night here.
It's a bon voyage.
You know, and I mean nothing sexual by this, but
right.
Have you thought about
it? He's so goddamn goofy, isn't he?
He really is.
It's a bon voyage.
It's a bon voyage. Picture him on Hawaiian short tiki torches.
Yeah. Have you thought of like a foot massage? Would you like a foot massage? No,
feet are gross. People touching my feet, well, I know.
Hey. I'm with you there.
All right, where are you on the butt?
I'm with John all the way on the...
There you go.
Thing.
Wow.
It's
you and the homeless
girl. Only stay off.
You could only what?
What? Stop. Everybody, we're all like dogs that heard a high-pitched whistle.
I could only stay off.
No, I said stay off. Exit only.
Stay off the butt.
Stay off.
Stay off the butt. Keep
with you.
Okay. Stay off the butt.
Okay.
Well, there they go.
Yeah.
There they go. And Mike is still looking at the picture of the girl with the rock hard boobs.
Not a chance.
Okay.
Lisa.
Bye, Lisa. See you tomorrow.
Bye,
bye, honey. Have a
bye,
good night,
kid.
Guys. And once again, look at his picture on our website. He looks like a slightly more retarded swimmer. I mean, really.
He
is. Who was the guy that was Schwimmer? It was
David Schwimmer, Ross.
That's right. Who it was. Oh, yeah. Now, for some reason, I knew that was his name on the show.
His character's name?
Yeah.
Schwimmer.
Schwimmer. I called him Schwimmer, even though his name on it was Ross, right?
Ross.
Ross and Rachel.
Ross Geller.
All right, thank you. Well, what we have tonight is the final night. It sounds like they're going to try to have a little fun. It's going to be mellow, of course, until Robert starts pounding on the window.
All right, well, let's give them the digital camera tonight.
Okay.
And let's get some last night photos so we can have them up on the website tomorrow.
Facebook.
And there they go. There's Lisa, and there's, what's his name? Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree.
And, Gary Shandling. The great Gary Shandling has exactly 5 minutes in his schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what, straight up at 5 o'clock we're supposed to start talking?
You know, we ought to do this time because he's got 5 minutes. We really ought to just, like, look at the clock so we get to say goodbye first. You know how we do that occasionally? We'll get somebody with those time limits. It's always so embarrassing when they say, hey, listen, I gotta run. I always hate that.
But it's our show. We gotta break first.
Right.
And we'll come back and do something and then figure out if we can get him on before we gotta break again.
I know, commercials.
Break again. Free FM, that's the price of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the price of freedom.
That's right.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Freedom!
Free at last. Free at last.
How are you doing? I don't know why his name came up into my head. I don't know.
You know why? Because he went out there yesterday to, like, check on her.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
How are you doing? Listen, how's the car doing? You going to be in the office tonight? You know, that's Michael Mayer's office, too. I'm his boss.
Okay, we got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And why doesn't the press search harder when it involves pro-lifers? They certainly do when it's pro-choicers.
It's our team. We're back. We back?
Yeah.
Here for this Green Bay. Or next is Green Bay. I lost it there for a minute, folks.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. So we heard the latest in the saga of Lisa the homeless girl. We're going to switch gears. Time for a little fun with Larry on Larry on the best of Don and Mike.
Right. Just ahead of some Larry King fun. Buzz?
Yes?
Got to ask you something, friend.
Okay.
What's your beef?
I'm not that crazy about the homeless lady.
Now, this is what I heard during the commercials, that you're putting it lightly. Why don't you like Lisa, the homeless girl? Because Buzz, you like everybody.
To a fault. In fact, if you probably had any criticism of me, it's that I like too many people.
But I'm
not discriminating in that way. But you know how a character joins a movie or a TV show, or especially soap operas, and their first day you see them, this person, this guy, this woman, they're trouble. They're just trouble. And I got that sense from Lisa the day she arrived here, and it was just more firmed up today, I think.
I was talking to you outside during the commercials, and I have known you, I don't know how many years I've known you, but
like 14
I've... 14 years.
Yeah.
And I have never, ever heard... You, this lady has somehow struck a chord with you.
It struck a nerve.
Did you call her a bitch?
I believe you did use that word.
But you actually were giving some reasons.
I see evidence stacking up. Now, just because a person's family doesn't want to have anything to do with them, that doesn't mean anything in and of itself, because that happens, and sometimes, you know, it just happens.
Okay.
And that doesn't indict the person. But when you add to that the fact that, like her best friend, she can't stay at her best friend's house because his roommate hates her. Well, why does he hate her? Maybe it's the same reason as her family. And the woman who called from Boston. She called to say hi, but she didn't want to pursue it. I see a pattern. And she's dissed a couple of my friends. I think she's sort of disrespected Robert, the mailman, and I think she's even disrespected Joshua Tree, especially yesterday, if you go back to yesterday's show. There's
wow.
There's something there that I'm not comfortable with.
I told you about this. This is a little taste of what we got outside.
And you called her a bitch.
I did use that word, yes, to be honest, yes.
Okay, well then, tomorrow, tune in. It's showdown.
Cage match.
Cage match. There you go.
Buzz.
Well, and maybe through this, through Buzz, we could perhaps get some questions answered. And
I think we deserve some answers.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think we could get some answers out of young Lisa.
You know, I wouldn't doubt that there are holes in the story.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not that she's lying about anything, but, you know, Buzz.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad saying this coming from me, but... You know, why so harsh?
I don't know. I'm the first to admit that this is unusual.
No, Rob, I don't think he's smoking.
Yeah, Rob thinks it's always weed.
It's bad weed.
No, bad weed.
It would mellow him out.
They're
not
all...
bad weed. Bad weed makes him say the word bitch.
All right, well, Buzz, you chew on that for a second.
I will.
Lisa, if you're listening up in your car, you chew on that for a second.
Sure.
And while we wait for Gary Shandling, which is supposed to be straight up 5 o'clock. East Coast time. And give me like that. Where's that cheap bun-da-da-da-da? Before we played the tape of Regis. Oh, yeah, we got a new great Regis tape again.
Good.
Every day this old man says something on his show. We won't play it now. But today, in essence, what he says is they go to the Hausfrau on the phone
mm-hmm.
you know, for the trivia thing. And he says, what do you do? And she says, I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And Regis turns to Kelly and says, see now, she does what you should do.
Right.
She stays home. She nurtures. She fondles her children.
That's really? What he said. He didn't know what he was saying.
And there is a moment of awkward silence.
Sure.
And Kelly Ripa looks like she's about to die, about to pee. And all of a sudden, they don't say anything. Just that big wheel comes down. And
just to cover his mistake.
And they play all the music.
Right. And there's nothing. There's no sound while you hear the music in the background.
So they come back and she says, well, I know who's not going to be babysitting anytime soon. And then finally... Regis realizes what he says,
mm-hmm.
and he says, yeah, that's right. Hey, come here, little boy. Which just does not go over.
Which is inappropriate, too, for Regis's audience.
Does not go over.
Oh, that's funny.
We've got that tape, and also a great tape for you that I hope we have time to get to today. Bill Cosby. Boy, I love it when he screams at college kids.
Is he getting mad again?
He's pissed off. He's so pissed off. And our friend Chris Hansen. Really, it's too bad that Dateline's Predator show is on against American Idol's finale, because last night, I hope you T-voted if you watched American Idol.
Yeah, I watched a little of it last night,
did you watch
too.
The Naked Guy?
I saw The Naked Guy.
My God.
Pretty amazing.
And so we got those tapes as well, but Feist...
It's amazing how they don't run immediately. That always blows my mind. You know, hey, he'll come through the door and you see the guy,
hang around.
Can you sit over here, please? Naked guy just, yeah, okay.
Here's our story now. Aggressive alligator shot... after barging into a woman's home. I know you've heard this, that she's got a doggy door. I'm sure you've seen this on the Today Show or whatever in your local news. She got a doggy door, and the alligator came into her house, and she got her pistol. She lives in Florida, so like everyone, she has a gun with her at all times. And she shot it 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Killed it dead.
Live from Washington, D.C., it's the Larry King Show.
I take it back. Didn't kill it dead. They let it go.
Wounded. Winged it. The Larry King Show features interviews with interesting guests from around the world.
That doesn't really matter, though.
Phone calls from across North America. It's a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System. And now, the host of the program, here's Larry.
Hi.
Hi, we're talking gators.
How you doing? How you doing, brother?
Hi, Lay.
How you, Lay?
I'm fine. How you doing today?
Buzz Burbank says Lisa's a bitch.
Anger. You got a lot of pent-up? Get the pent-up anger, Buzz?
Apparently, I do.
Sure.
Is that a silk shirt?
No, cotton.
You like cotton or silk?
You talking to me?
Sure.
I like polyester.
Yeah, polyester's good. Feels good against the skin.
Also, the name of those two chicks that we met.
Yeah.
Down the Bronx. So one was named Polly.
The other one was Esther.
Oh,
he went out with Polly. I went out with Esther. The rest is history.
Hey, Rob, call her up.
Okay. Sure. We're going to call a lady who had a gator come into her house.
Yeah. Hi, folks. It's Larry King.
And this is Larry King.
Tonight on Larry King Live.
Sure.
Aggressive gator.
We're talking about aggressive gators, and of course we'll talk to Rickles.
Shooting.
Don Rickles later on.
Shooting. And,
Did she shoot it?
Liz Taylor.
Ouch.
out of the hospital. That's tomorrow, Larry King Live. Don't forget, Anderson Cooper follows this show.
The amazing Paul Anka, Larry King Weekend.
Candy!
Now let's go live to Bradenton, Florida. Here's Candy Fry.
Candy, you had an alligator crawl into your house?
He was on the lanai, on the back porch.
Lanai. Wow. What's a lanai?
It's like a screened-in enclosure where you're pulling your picnic table.
Is that to keep... let me see. Hold. Don't tell me. Is that to keep the bugs out?
Yeah, it's to keep the bugs out.
It's like
out.
Hawaiian, right?
Please,
is it lanai? Is that a Hawaiian word?
I think so.
Yeah, it's... lanai is... it's hot in Florida, right?
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's hotter up north than it is in Florida.
Ah. You know what I like about
during
Florida?
During the summer.
Lately it's pretty hot
down here.
No tax.
Let me tell you what I like about Florida. Fresh squeezed juices.
That's good, too.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You like fresh? You like the fresh squeezed or the store-bought?
I like the Tropicana Pure Freeze.
Oh, you like the store?
Speaking of juice.
The store-bought.
Speaking of juice, here's a question for you.
Sure.
This
is Lion King.
Here's a question. So you got the alligator. Sneaks into the doggy door. What if it was O.J. Simpson? What if it was Juice?
Would you have shot O.J. four times with your pistol?
If he comes to my house.
He came to your house.
How come it didn't die after you shot it?
I think that alligators must be really tough species.
They got the tough skin, right? Tough skin on
did
a
it look? Did it look like Joan Rivers? She'll be guest hosting along with Ryan Seacrest on the show.
You know,
she's got that leathery skin.
How big was your gator, Candy?
Excuse me?
How big was your gator?
He was around 3 feet, maybe a little bit bigger, you know.
Alligator or crocodile, what's the difference? Go!
Alligators have a square snout, and crocodiles have the long, skinny snouts, right?
I don't get it.
Do you ever eat frog's legs? Candy, you ever had frog's legs?
Yeah, they taste like chicken, or does the frog come first so the chicken tastes like
I was at Joe's Stone Crab in Miami and had alligator bites. How do you like those?
I haven't had any alligator bites.
Yummy.
I'll tell you what
spicy.
I like. I like chicken McNuggets.
Oh, that's good stuff, boy.
I found one. Found one recently that was shrimp like the state of Louisiana.
Did you keep it or eat it?
He said to Sean.
The gator?
I said.
The wildlife.
I said, I gotta eat this.
Put him back in the pond.
But first, let's take a picture. Also, one time, I found a hair. I found a hair.
In your nugget?
A hair in my food.
Food or your nuggets?
In my nuggets.
Okay.
And I was going to go back up to the counter and talk to the lady. And then Sean said to me, hey, Grandpa. That's my wife. And I said, you know what? And she said, Ed, that hair came out of your nose. One of your nose hairs fell out.
Candy?
Yes?
An alligator bit the hand off Captain Hook and Peter Pan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what about that?
That was a cartoon, though.
Which would hurt more?
Make-believe.
If you're an alligator and you're shot, would that hurt as much as for a human being having someone pull out some of your nose hairs?
Boy, that's a toss-up. I don't know.
I'll tell you a funny cartoon.
Wow.
A funny cartoon is Wally Gator.
Wally Gator, great cartoon. Funny, I'm laughing.
And how about Steve Spurrier, former coach of the Florida Gators?
That's where she's from. Right?
Are you a fan of Steve Spurrier?
I'm a fan of the Florida Gators. My daughter's going to go to school there in August.
You know what I love about the Florida Gators? I'll tell you something about them. One of us.
Good football team.
You know, they are they the ones that were shoplifting at Dillard's? Dillard's is a wonderful store to go shoplifting at.
Sure.
Or was that at the U?
I don't like shoplifters. Very bad.
I say, you know, what we got to do is, we got to close the borders.
Sure.
Don't you agree, Candy?
Yeah.
We got to close the borders. We got to shut down the borders.
You think we got to shut down the borders?
Wally Gator. Wally Gator.
There's a lot of, I think it'd make our income tax cheaper.
Sure.
If it paid income tax.
Wally Gator, this guy, I remember, Wally Gator, he's a character. He wore a hat. Did your gator have a hat and a necktie?
No, he didn't.
That's the cartoon, just like Peter Pan. Was he the gator? Gator skin, is it slimy or is it sticky or dry?
It looks leathery.
You didn't touch it?
Camouflagey, too.
Did you touch the gator after you shot it?
No.
And I could never figure out how to tie a tie.
He was still alive when the sheriff came out.
That's why I wear clip-ons.
Clip-on ties, good.
Do you like clip-on ties?
No, I like the traditional ones.
What about a nice combination, clip-on tie, suspenders, Would that do it for you, Candy?
No.
Tell me something. What kind of gun do you own? That turns me on.
H&K 40 caliber
pistol. H&K is a Helen and Keller?
Do you shoot your own food, Candy?
No, I don't. The first animal I've shot.
You know,
Gatorade. Why do they call it that? Go.
Because the Florida Gator, University of Florida invented it.
Wrong. I'm sorry. Wrong. I think we all know what they do. They take alligators and they smoosh them up.
Yep.
And what you do is you squeeze them. Much like the wash rag that I've got back in the men's room here.
We're talking with Candy Fry, Anderson Cooper 360 coming up on the hour. Candy, Gatorade, good. Golf, good sport, right?
Golf is a great sport.
Sure.
Red Bull. What's the deal with Red Bull?
Makes me jumpy. What say you?
Is that like Gatorade?
No.
You know, I always wish that they would have brought back New Coke. Because for me...
You like the flavor?
For me, Coca-Cola Zero might as well be Diet Coke. But same animal.
New Coke. Big difference.
I like them both. What about you, Candy? And are you named after a candy? If you were,
I
would...
I read the book Candy Cane the night before.
Oh, don't get me started on candy.
I would name you Bitto Honey.
Bitto Honey, your favorite I'm a Payday guy.
And Candy Cane, also a great exotic dancer's name.
Candy
Hi.
Fry, any candy in the world, you're on a desert island, go.
Go. Candy Fry, how's Amber? How's she holding up?
I don't know, Amber.
Scott Peterson will be our guest later tonight. Yeah,
Snickers bars, overrated.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that one.
Sure, what's your favorite candy? Go.
I like Dove chocolate.
What?
Dove chocolate.
Did the gator go oopsie in your house?
No, he didn't.
The gator did not lose control of his bladder bowels.
No,
I'm curious, so indulge me for a minute. I'm
curious too.
Can you candy a yam?
Candy?
Can you candy a yam?
I can make candy
dance. There you go. Now that's we're right. Talking there, boy.
So when you shot that thing, what was that like? Was that a rush? You feel good?
Candy, how about an egg cream? No egg, no cream. What do you think?
Like playing a video game? Was it like you shot the alligator? My God, who'd you imagine it was? Did you imagine it was Saddam Hussein?
No, I didn't. That didn't go through my head.
Guns are loud, right, Candy? Make a big boom?
Yes, they are.
Sure. Does it hurt your ears? You got to wear plugs?
When you go out to the rifle range.
Do you have any time to get your earplugs?
No, I didn't.
What's that famous bumper sticker? Oh, I know what it is. If you can read this, you're following too close.
Sure.
I like that. You know what else I like? My child is an honest student. I like that.
I'm partial to Yosemite Sam.
I like the one that says, my child beat up your honor student.
Well, that's horrible.
That's not funny.
I don't understand. People that's joke about that, kids. Kids hitting kids.
That's not funny.
For Thanksgiving, I think ham is a mistake. Quick.
It is.
Who's better, Smith or Wesson? Go!
They're both the same thing.
Wrong. Smith had the cough drop. Wesson has the oil.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
He's the man's man. Dirty Harry.
You like Plains Drifter.
You like Dirty Harry?
He was all right, yeah.
Why does he take his shirt off so much in the movies? Don't people know that we don't want to see old men like me?
Skinny, scrawny.
Taking their shirts off in the movies.
My shoulder blades actually touch.
I went to see a great movie over the weekend.
What'd you see?
Star Lindsay Lohan. She's fantastic. She's so talented.
That's a superstar. If Lindsay Lohan's on screen, I'm watching.
Do you like crackers? I find them salty.
Real salty. But you put stuff on them. Do you put stuff on your crackers, Candy?
No.
You don't? You eat them dry?
I don't eat crackers.
You don't eat crackers.
Lindsay Lohan, the movie Just My Luck.
If you don't eat crackers, how about chips?
No, I don't eat chips either.
Whoa.
You know, people who eat crackers in bed have crummy children.
Now I'm laughing.
And that was a good one.
That's a good joke.
Confucius saying.
I know a couple of those, but
man,
yeah, put
man,
them on.
Man who eat jelly beans, fought in Technicolor.
We're having fun now there, boy.
Did the alligator fart? What did alligator fart smell like?
Yeah, what did it smell like?
Is anything like a human fart?
I didn't smell any.
You got an RV?
Yes, I do.
Avi with Robin Williams. Now that is a tour de force.
That man is a genius.
He, of course, was Jacob the Liar and Mrs. Doubtfire.
What a talent he is. In Avi, you seen the movie Candy?
Not yet.
Oh, it's good. Real funny. Hangs from the front of the
Robin
car.
Williams.
He hangs from the windshield wipers. Just hysterical.
Are you sad that Elliot Ephraim got voted off American Idol?
I thought he was better than the girl.
Who's your favorite Idol, Candy? Go!
I think Taylor.
Taylor Hicks.
Taylor.
Yeah.
What about Taylor Dane? Whatever happened to Taylor Dane?
James Taylor.
And what about our Taylor? Bailey Banks and Biddle?
Oh, sure.
Brooks Brothers?
Bailey Banks and Biddle, that's an expensive store.
It's a jewelry store, right?
Jewelry store, yes. Jewelry store, yes. Yeah.
Marshall's jewelry.
Yeah, it's a jewelry. They don't serve breakfast.
You like jewelry? You like jewelry? I don't like a lot of jewelry. You like jewelry?
Breakfast is the most important...
I don't wear a lot of it.
Huh?
I don't wear a lot of it.
Breakfast, the most important meal of the day. Go, Candy.
It is.
Why?
Because it gets you going in your brain thinking.
If you couldn't have your breakfast, would you shoot it?
It depends where I was. You know, right now in my house, I'm not going to...
If your eggs over easy, got up off the table... And ran out the doggy door. Would you shoot him four times with your pistol?
No.
You wouldn't. You like Gary Shandling? You ever heard of Gary Shandling? He's a funny man. He was on Carson. Killed on Carson. You ever watch Larry Sanders' show?
Occasionally.
He's a very big man. He's our next guest. We must move on.
Yeah, time to go. Besides, we're getting prickly heat.
Thank you for the laughs.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Candy. Good luck. We hope you don't see any more alligators.
I hope so, too.
Alligator Alley. Very
nice. Have a great night.
Thanks for all the info.
How you feel about the speed limit in Florida being raised to 90?
Bye.
I'm for that. I'm all for that. And Will and Grace going off tonight. I never knew which one of them was gay. Was it Will or Grace?
I think it was Grace.
Is Grace a boy's name or a girl's name?
Well, it doesn't matter if he's gay.
Brett Favre is a man.
Go.
She's gone.
She hung up,
I believe.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, we're going to put you on with
our...
Thank you, Candy. We're going to put you on with our producer. We're going to see what happens.
You find Brett Favre to be a man.
Okay.
You find Brett Favre to be a man. Do you find him to be a man or a boy? A boy in a man's field?
I think he's a man.
He's a man.
There you go.
Yeah. You ever think about him that way?
Boy, man.
I do.
No, I don't think about him.
Go in the locker room.
No.
Snap a towel against his...
No, I think he's a good football player, and that's all I think about him.
Yeah. A good player.
What about Wisconsin? They talk funny.
They do, but anywhere you go, everyone thinks that you talk
funny. It's been great having you on the show. Candy Fry, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Live from Washington, D.C., it's the Larry King Show.
Okay, well, that was something we certainly could have gone on and on and on with.
She hung in there, didn't she?
She did. She did a fine job.
Damn.
She loved the jokes.
Wow. Normally at this point, Rob would be calling back to say, how do you think it went?
Right.
But Rob nervously slipped me a note saying, Gary Shandling in 2 minutes. That was roughly 3 minutes ago.
Shandling's people called.
Why is it always like this? Whenever we...
It's awkward, isn't it?
We never get anybody of note.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy who really we could give a prostate exam to on the air. We're such fans of Gary Shandling. And it's going to be one of those things.
Trying to have a little fun, folks.
You know, they're going
to
say he's only got 3 minutes. I mean, and then you know what's going to happen. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to say, well, screw it.
And go to break, and then he'll call.
Oh, don't say that.
No.
Don't say that, because, you know, then later in the show, gosh, you wouldn't be able to have a tantrum because all the commercials weren't being played. Now it's okay to sit just wasting time. That now it's okay. But wait until it gets late in the show, until the commercials have to get played. That's when I start getting this from Rob.
Come on, hurry up.
That's the sound of him tapping on the clock. Like, I can't see without that big Fred Flintstone hand, that four-fingered hand coming in. And then, you know, I include the thumb there. That's just like Fred Flintstone.
Just remember, if you laughed at it, I probably wrote it. I'm Rob Spiewak.
Buy with confidence.
How's your credit?
Okay, Rob, give me the ticky-tock.
You got it.
You know, I hate to do this to Gary Shandling, but frankly, as always, I don't believe you can pull a real guest anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. It's 60 seconds now, because Gary Shandling's window was from 5 until 5:05.
Right.
And Rob made it. Just impressed upon me.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be on time. We got to stop down. You love Gary Shandling. Mike loves Gary Shandling.
Well, And we all scream for ice cream.
We've only, according to his publicist, he only would have now 2 minutes and 10 seconds to talk to us. Look at him. He's nervous on his cell now. Look at him leave the room.
Making an important call.
He's leaving the room.
We'll find out soon.
Checking to see if Gary's on schedule.
He's so funny. You know, meanwhile, all this time, we could have kept the Larry King lady on the phone.
We could have done it.
Okay. And, Robbie?
The number didn't go through to him.
Don and Mike to break.
Hold on. You still got...
Oh.
Well, now we actually have 90 seconds.
Well, this is awkward.
Oh, we could talk about why you think Lisa's such a bitch.
Well, I thought we covered that.
I thought we were doing that tomorrow.
But joined by Buzz Burbank. Buzz seems to love everybody except a certain homeless lady.
I don't know why.
Why?
They're just black.
She shunned your advance?
No. I call it a vibe, call it a hunch. I don't know
what. She know you are visually undressing her as you do everybody, Buzz?
No, really. I have had very little contact with her.
Does she know you're the predator type?
I've basically heard what the listeners have heard.
We're talking with Buzz Burbank. Buzz, let me ask you a question about
yes,
a guy,
Larry.
A guy you work with.
All right.
Your friend.
Uh-huh.
Your friend Don.
All right.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, what about him?
Why do you think he'd hire such a horse's ass like Rob to be the producer?
Well, because I think Rob...
Why do you think he listens to him?
Amuses him, and I think he trusts him and wanted him to be close in that way.
Why do you think Don believes him, though, when he says, we got Gary Schelling, but you got to break it five.
Well, you got to believe.
You got to make it happen.
You got to believe, you got to trust.
Usual, you don't get nothing.
Right.
You know what I feel like?
What?
I know. I feel like the telephone that Rob was trying to buy at Circuit City.
Oh, abandoned.
The credit card not going through.
Gary Schelling is the Visa card being declined right now.
And you're the phone staying at the store, waiting.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Why should I even? That's why I didn't like writing notes about anything that I would want to ask him.
Right.
Because really, you didn't want to be disappointed.
There was like an 80% shot that really I thought...
You didn't want to build up your hopes.
It wasn't going to happen anyway.
Sure.
I said to Rob today, I'm not even going to write notes because I could ask him about the show where he drove around in his golf cart.
Right. It's Gary Shandling's show.
Yes. Yes. And then there was, of course, Larry Sanders and all of his great movie roles. Mm-hmm. And when he killed on Carson, I said, I don't need a primer. 5 minutes, I'll be climbing up his bung. He'll say, let me out of here. And now the moment's gone. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, turn your radio down unless you're Gary Schelling. For goodness sakes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I have a question for Buzz, but I also need input from both you, Don, and Mike.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't go that way. But go ahead.
All right. Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
In your lifetime, how many times have you ever called a woman a bitch? I do not see that in you.
Yeah, well, and mostly that's true. I'd say you could count them on one hand, and probably just four fingers.
But he's crazy about the C
Does
word.
Does that include a thumb?
He cannot see.
He throws around the C word constantly.
See this and see that.
Actually, not true. But I do use it today, I think.
Buzz,
hold on.
So
I know. I'm the first to admit it's out of character.
You used the C bomb today?
Oh, they didn't tell you? Sure. Yeah. No, I
he
did
outside.
Actually.
I forgot to tell you that.
I just
did.
In my emotional
speaking. Are you kidding? You called her a C?
I was. It was in my emotional oratory. I think perhaps it slipped out.
Okay. All right. Goodbye, sir. Hold on one second.
I know. It's hard. I'm as stunned as anybody.
Give me a second.
It isn't like me.
Rob, I've officially given up on Gary Schelling.
And I'd be ashamed if I didn't somehow, on some level,
he
believe
won't let
it.
Us down.
Never.
He didn't let us down. You did. That's right. You did. He's the big star. You're the producer. Now we got to try to.
Hello.
Homeless Lisa. Hi, Don.
Yes, hi.
Don and Mike. Turn your radio down, please.
I am. It's down.
So, how you doing, bitch?
Yeah.
How you doing, C-Word?
You guys have to duke it out later.
This is not me talking, not Mike talking. It's kindly old Buzz.
Yes.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Are you a bitch?
I don't think I am, but Buzz does and Robert does. So perhaps I am.
Well, it's just the opinions of two men. Could mean nothing in the overall scheme of things.
Don't give up too easy.
Oh, I'm not giving up.
I was talking to Lisa.
Oh.
Well, people are entitled to have their opinion, and whatever vibe he got off me. Sometimes people just don't like people, and they don't even know why.
I could be wrong.
What is your first thought about Buzz? I mean, if you were going to have an angry thought about Buzz, what would it be about Buzz?
I don't have any angry
thoughts. Oh, come on. You got to work something up. Now, he's called you a bitch and called you the C word. What would you call him?
A big old pothead? No, I don't know.
Ouch.
Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, I mean,
that's I don't know. I mean, you know.
He wears that as a sandwich board. Are you kidding me? That's on his. That's a bumper sticker on his car.
I don't know, Buzz. I don't, you know, okay. I have nothing.
Hold on. I got to make another call. We'll call you back. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Another call time. I thought that went well.
And then we got a break anyway. Because, look, Gary Shandling's not calling. Of course he's not calling. Foolish me. Believing that. Ugh. God. Fool me
once. Hello?
Hey, Beth Ann.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, I'm on the air.
You answer your... Well, no, your cell phone can't be on the air.
Are you on the air right now?
Well, I'm about to go on there.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Listen, didn't want to screw up your show.
No, don't worry. I'm doing that myself. Go ahead.
Yeah, just...
What?
Just...
What's up?
Rob?
Yes?
How's Gary Shandling?
I imagine he's doing fine.
Yeah. Hey, have you had Gary Shandling on your show?
No, I have not.
Okay.
All right, good. Just check your... Okay. Thanks, Beth Ann.
All right, B.A.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. Miss you. Bye. Bye.
She had to go.
Yeah. Listen to him.
She was not there.
His credit card has been rejected.
You big lunkhead.
No.
Give it up. Just give it up. Get out of here. Come on. Because we're going to get on something else now. Then you're going to say, now he's got 2 minutes. He'll talk to you for 2 whole minutes.
Yeah. It's tough. It's very difficult.
It's funny.
It is.
It's a great... Let me just say, I don't know if I'm articulating this enough. The great dynamic that's happened in the last half hour. Buzz using the bitch word, using the C word. Rob, who really, I swear to God, has got a brown stain the size of the state of Montana right now in his pants because of this Gary Shandling thing. Beautiful. God, you can cut it. You can cut the tension with a knife in here. How you doing, Montana?
Great. they're looking for him in the DreamWorks facility.
Ah,
very good.
Your underpants look like Gorbachev's head.
They do. They do.
That ain't wine.
Okay, well, when we come back, you will have to tell Gary Shandling, if he does call,
yes.
We're busy.
All right.
Very busy.
We are busy. Listen, I want to play this game. We've got pictures on the internet. We've got tapes here. We got too much stuff to do. Got too much stuff to do. And how about that, Buzz? What?
I'm as shocked as anyone.
You are just Mr. Man, aren't you?
Good. Make that fist buzzy.
Uh-huh. Feel good about yourself, huh?
I had an opinion. I thought I'd share it.
There you go. Let's go outside and flex a little bit for her.
I think I will.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Not for her.
Stand in front of her car.
She doesn't want to see that.
Just show her the gun show.
No, no need.
Let's see what's happening.
No need for that.
Okay. Well, am I the only one that's still trying? Or
what are we trying to do now?
Well, I guess here's what we're trying to do. Bye. What I'm going to do is just, this is like...
I'm going to try right now. Watch this.
Mike?
Listen to me carefully.
Okay.
Don and Mike to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Artie, I'd like you to meet Brian. He's substituting for Darlene while she's on vacation.
Oh, welcome to our little family, Brian. Little tip. Don't speak to Larry unless he speaks to you. Have fun, my boy. Nice suit.
The Don and Mike Show. It is the sacred day. The day for Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Thanks, dude, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Well, in the last segment, you...
Yeah!
Sorry, just had to rock with that, man. In the last segment, you heard them fretting about whether or not Larry Sanders would call, of course, Gary Shandling. And, well, he did, and here he is on the best of Don and Mike.
There's good news and not so good news.
Really?
Mike has just left because Mike's dying. I'm not sure what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
He's out of here on his way to the hospital, I think. So I hope you feel better, Mike.
Yeah.
But you know what that means?
One.
More time for me to give Gary Shandling a prostate exam. For me to just climb right in there.
Enjoy.
Less time for Mike to talk, and here now is Gary Shandling. Gary, hello.
Don, am I supposed to be to bend over right now? Is that what I just heard?
Well, what it is you know, you get this.
I mean, over the phone, you're going to give me an exam?
I am, you know, I'm your...
Or do you mean it metaphorically?
Yes, I'm your worst nightmare. I'm your worst... I'm the guy...
Trust me.
I'm
trust
the guy...
Trust me, you are not.
I'm the guy that comes up and goes... I seen you when you drove that golf cart on the street on your TV show.
That's nothing.
I seen you on Johnny Carson.
Did Mike get sick when he heard about this interview, or was it prior to this?
We are not sure. And not Gary Shandling, even your Warren Beatty movies. Oh, Jesus Christ! Boy, are you good?
Can you see that on the radio now, huh?
Yeah. Can you tell that I'm a mega fan, and of course, you know,
I appreciate it.
And Larry Sanders. Before we talk about your new movie, will you just tell us? Will the company ever release the rest of Larry Sanders?
Yes. Here's what I'm in the middle of doing, and I am not kidding. When I heard you play that little clip about the hot towels, I marked it down because I'm in the middle of editing the Larry Sanders episodes to be released in probably November, and I'm in the middle of finishing those with some really great features in which I talk in a very unedited, unprofessional, unaffected way with Sharon Stone and Dave Duchovny and Seinfeld. So I'm really in the middle of those together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, without just boring you to tears about this, your show, the Larry Sanders Show, I mean, it was, you know, fantastic.
I appreciate it, really. November. And I want to say hi to my buddy Bill Isaacson, who's in Washington.
Oh, hi, Bill.
And maybe he's listening to you.
No, well, according to the latest ratings, probably not, but who knows. You know, Mike, the guy who's sick right now, we call his name on the show is Hank. And the reason his name on the show is Hank is that he really, you know, we're two DJs. He bought a restaurant. So when we talk about Mike's restaurant, I play this tape.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
And do you know...
Oh, you are a big fan.
Yeah, do you know that there are people, when they want to go to Mike's restaurant... They actually call directory assistance and ask for Hank's Look Around Cafe. They don't get the joke.
That's hilarious. Well, you know, a lot of people didn't see the show, so when the DVDs come out in November, they'll be introduced to them.
Well, anyway.
And they're fantastic.
Huge, huge fan I am, speaking like Yoda, but
I accept, Don. I understand. I mean, the show is fantastic, and I look back at the clips as I'm editing them and the episodes, and they so hold up, and they are... It's something I'm proud of, so I'm glad you're mentioning it.
And if you don't mind, one more thing before the movie. When I was first exposed to you, or, you know, for lack of a better word, when you would
go... prostate exam.
Yeah, right. When you would go on Carson, and especially the
first... something you don't want your doctor to say in the prostate exam. Ready?
But, yeah.
You don't want him to call you by the wrong name. That's insulting. One thing to do it in bed, you know, as a mistake, but when the doctor's giving you the prostate exam and he calls you the wrong name, it's insulting. Okay, come on. Go ahead. When you were introduced, exposed to me.
How big a deal was it? Because it was obvious that Johnny Carson, from the first time you were on, it was like, you could tell when Johnny Carson was really laughing at somebody. And it wasn't just that invite you over to the couch thing. It was the, God damn, this guy is funny. You hear comedians talk about that all the time. Seriously, now, was that as huge a deal for you as like Jerry Seinfeld said it was for him?
Yeah. You know, in a very human way, if you can imagine yourself or anybody listening who's listening going on the Tonight Show and doing well and having Johnny Carson laugh and them saying, hey, when do you want to come back? And it changed my career. And as a human being, it was a really kind of emotional moment. And, you know, I think we have a piece of that in the DVD, you know, because we're doing the history of how the Sanders Show developed.
Oh, good.
And I've looked at it, and I still kind of get... tingles as I look at it. When I say tingles, I think I mean shingles.
Yeah, well, either way.
I'm not sure if they're tingles. I'm not sure that I have tingles anymore.
Or are you eating Pringles?
It could be any number of things.
And about Larry Sanders, also, how pleased are you that so many members of the cast of that show, like Jeremy Piven has gone on to Entourage, Janine Garofalo has gone on. I mean, you had all these people who, until Larry Sanders...
I think Marilyn Ricecup is on 24.
Chloe. Yeah, right, Chloe O'Brien,
Chris
right.
Silverman is gigantic.
Yeah. you got to be proud about that, that there's a percentage of people like myself who go look at Chloe O'Brien and go, hold on, she was the pissed off secretary sitting outside Hank's office.
Yeah, you know, Don, this is all dealt with on the DVD.
Okay.
They talk about it intimately, and it's very moving and very real, and then they're also, of course, very funny. So you'll get a good inside look at all that stuff.
Well, I look forward to that.
I am. I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of them. And, you know, I'm proud that I was able to help them and proud that they were around me.
Well, you should be. It's a great show. Now, I know that we don't have you on the phone just so I can rub your prostate. You're at the Voice.
Well, I took some time off and, you know, dabbled in a few things. And then I was at a Laker game because I go to maybe five Laker games a year. And I'm sitting there at those floor seats that... I don't spend money on, but somebody will give them to me.
Okay.
And Jeffrey Katzenberg, who runs DreamWorks, came up to me at the Laker game and said, I've been looking for an animated voice for you to play, and I think I've got something. And I said, hey, I get out of the way. I'm watching the game. And then I had a meeting with him, and he said, we're going to do this movie Over the Hedge. And I'm not kidding. He put a puppet on his hand of a turtle and a puppet on his hand of a raccoon. And he started, and I was alone with him in the room, and I got scared because I didn't. And I thought, this is the head of a studio, and I thought it was charming, and I thought he was passionate about it, so I said yes and just dove into this thing, not knowing what this 2 or 3 year process was going to be to make an animated movie.
A lot of the people that do these, I read that like they do it for their kids, and you of course are a famous bachelor. God knows how many love children.
I'm doing it for Jerry's kids.
For Jerry's kids.
I don't have any kids. This is as close as I'll come probably to having kids. But I'm curious to see it with an audience of kids because it is different than, of course, it's so different than the Larry Sanders Show, which is an adult. An adult fashion show.
Well, and I hate to keep going back to it, but you know, what planet are you from? Again, you know, I mean,
I have one kid, I have one child in Somalia. It's 89. He's 89 cents a day, and what a pain in the ass he is. Now it's up to 92 cents.
How much work is involved when you're the voice of a cartoon? Because I think most people imagine you go in, you read off a script for 2 or 3 days, and you're done. Was that it, or? More
no, and I thought it was just me, and then I heard Bruce Willis talk about this, too. It's a gigantic amount of work. You go in for about 4 hours at a time and scream your lungs out, which you're familiar with because really you're doing radio there. So you know sometimes, especially if you don't have your partner, you're doing it on your own. There's no other actors. There's somebody there kind of reading the other cartoon voices. But in this case, we were also developing the story and the characters as we went along. So... It took there'd be these 4 hour sessions every few days, and then they would put it together, and you'd come back a few weeks later and redo it. And it takes a long time, and the struggle is trying to understand how to play it, what the energy level is, and you know there's a lot of screaming. This turtle screams a lot. I play the turtle, and he screams more than I have. Since couples therapy. Is that a joke?
Here's the plot they sent us. A very mischievous raccoon and his sensitive best buddy turtle, along with other creatures, resist the evils and temptations of suburbia. Would that be how you would describe
it? That's how I would describe the Larry Sanders Show. Well, I mean, it's some version of that. Yeah, it's some version of that. This turtle doesn't. He's the head of the family, which is and I think this turtle is kind of sounds like I do right now, actually.
Well, exactly like you do.
Huh?
Well, probably it's your voice exactly like you do.
That was when I saw it. I realized that's the one thing I had in common when I finally saw the movie is that we have the same voice.
I'm all over the place because it's
you're doing great.
Just you.
Because I could have never done what you just did, which was make a good segue from Larry Sanders into doing an animated turtle voice.
Oh, well, thank
you. And yet the movie, it's a new experience for me, and the movie really flies along, and I think it's probably very, very, very entertaining, and Steve Carell's in it, and he's hilarious,
right.
And It's a challenge.
Shatter.
It's not me being funny in exactly the way that I am, and I play some emotional arc, believe it or not. And I don't know. It's the real test will be when other turtles see this.
Do you really obsess?
Guys, we got to wrap this.
Oh, okay. Do you really obsess about your hair? Because Rob told me when he picked up the phone that you were saying to someone something about, yeah, you like that guy's hair or you didn't like the... Do you really obsess about your hair?
No, I think that, to be honest, I think that's sort of the old act.
Okay. All right. Well, then, Rob, were you lying to me when you said that?
What did I say exactly? I'll ask to whatever I said.
Rob, what did you say that Gary Shandling said when you picked up the phone right before he came on the air?
The first thing I heard when he was coming to the phone was something about some guy's hair.
It doesn't.
Thanks, ass. Not you, Gary.
I mean, I got a new haircut yesterday, 2 days ago, and we were talking about people's haircut, but I don't remember today talking about...
Okay, no wonder. He's just
I'm not dodging it. I mean, I think...
No, Rob's just a big liar.
I think a haircut makes me... Well, I wouldn't be... Let's put it this way. If I'm obsessing about how my hair looks and I'm on the radio, I got a problem.
There you go. Gary, I heard the guy say you got to go. The movie is called, everybody knows this, Over the Hedge, opens tomorrow,
and
nationwide.
The DVDs come out in November, but Don, I can tell you're a fan and I accept it and really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary, and really, I know you don't do this, but anytime you'd really would just love the pleasure of being...
I'll talk to you again when...
The great Gary Shandling.
Yeah.
I mean that.
Yeah.
Big fan. And the movie Over the Hedge opens tomorrow. Thank you for your time, Gary.
Bye, you guys.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow, you just barely saved your ass on that one.
Yeah, but I almost messed it up with the hair thing. I love walking the line. I'm like Johnny Cash.
You and Johnny Cash.
That was cool.
You and Joaquin Phoenix. Well, that was Gary Shandling.
Yes.
That was good. He's
that
good.
Was very cool.
That was good. Boy, and I'm all discombobulated because... And thank you to Gary Shandling, and of course you big dummy would have been better to have him on a half an hour ago.
Sure.
Right when we got when we were filling in between the Larry King and Buzz thinks that the homeless lady is a bitch and a C, and I heard you drop the C word again outside during the last commercial break.
Well, I was asked to repeat it, so I did. I answer requests.
And at one point, like kiddingly, because everybody was just stopped. Buzz was stopped because, you know, it's like we're pounding Buzz on saying bitch and the C word. Rob is back there because he's been verbally beaten up because Gary Shandling's not on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike was just pretty much giving me a look like, which is why at that point, you might have remembered, am I the only one trying? Well... When we went to break, you know, Mike said, I got the answer. Don, I go to break. Mike looked at me and said, I am so sick. I got to go right now.
Yeah, he was hurt.
And I think he was like, he's going to the hospital or?
He just said he felt really bad. He thought he was going to pass out and he had to go.
So, you know, gosh, I hope he's okay.
Yeah. Because when you're about to pass out and you get behind the wheel of a car, yeah, that could be tricky.
Yeah, this is not a radio gag.
Right.
You know, and Mike, if you're out there listening, if you wanted to cut out early today to drink or go off or whatever, all you have to do is just ask.
Just say so.
Just ask. But we hope Mike is doing okay.
Yeah.
And he said don't make a big deal about it, and I don't want to make a big deal about it. It's weird if we go to break and Mike is here, and then we come back, and especially Gary Shandling is on the phone, and Mike's gone.
I think he's been replaced.
At first, I thought Mike was going to be doing an impression of Gary Shandling when I saw he wasn't in the studio.
Oh, and I know Mike would be upset, but hopefully he's in a hospital now. He won't hear this. Oh, so nice to speak to him without being interrupted. Because, you know, there are only a few people that I'm really like that.
You're crazy about Gary Shandling.
And, you know, like...
Rightly so.
Him, Batman,
right.
Albert Brooks, you know, and it's a very small club. I mean, we got a guy like Bob Barker on the show. Yeah, Madden. Oh, my God.
Sure, there's another one.
Are you kidding? Rob just gave me the best one. Sometimes I really say to Mike, listen what a dick I am. When we have John Madden on this show, I'll say to Mike before we go on the air, before the break, I'll say, all right, now, you know, Madden's in this break. Mike will go, yeah. I'll say, you can just sit back. Now, if I'm Mike, I'm pissed at me. Because, like what is my chopped liver?
Right.
No, of course not. It's
the Don and Mike show.
You know, it's yin and yang. I understand it's me and it's him. But it's like, on some things, like with Madden, it's like, I feel like Mike is monopolizing and it's just my insecurity, the only chance that I have to speak to someone
to a hero.
Who I really,
right.
really admire.
Right.
And what I've realized now is without my fear, like for the yin and the yang, uh-huh. what I really was just like a queer stalker to Gary Shandling. He must have hung
I
up,
think he enjoyed it.
He must have hung up the phone at some point. I got one out there who probably would come to my house and rape me if he got a chance. Think he's obsessed? Knows every episode of the show by heart. God, I wish the other guy would have been there.
I think he appreciated it.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Sure was hocking that movie, though.
Yeah, well, that's what he's doing, yeah.
That's what he's doing. Okay, so that's Gary Shandling.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
That's right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I was a little late there because, well, gee, I got to read you this. WJSA is giving away a trip for two to Tokyo, Japan for the world premiere of Spider-Man 3. Go to WJFK.com now. Click the Spider-Man 3 logo to get the web word of the day. Listen for your cue to call. 10th caller with the web word qualifies for the trip. And we will draw the winner on Friday. Yo, that's a couple of days from now. So dig it. All right, let's get back into it. In the last segment, it was Larry Sanders, also known as Gary Shandling, of course. But we love him as Larry Sanders on this show. And Mike had disappeared before that segment. And so it's a few days later, and we find out what happened to Mike on the best of Don and Mike.
Before we discuss horses.
Bobbero.
Horses that run and break their legs. And I've got some weekend stuff to get to. I know we have Mike's health, which is the paramount reason
yeah.
that we're going to start the show.
Oh, it ain't nothing but a thing.
Talking about Mike. And
it ain't nothing to worry about.
But as I said, you know, we weren't here on Friday.
Right.
Because at Mike's request, we weren't here. He was... Well, he'll tell you. He wasn't feeling good, didn't feel right, didn't want to come in and do the show.
Requested that today. They denied my request today, unfortunately.
We missed the chance to tie up the loose end with Lisa, the homeless lady who Buzz thinks is a bitch and the C word.
Did you ever get Gary Shandling on the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was good. Yeah, and you know what? She's a bunt. I just figured out.
Hey, that's a good combination
that's
of the words.
Combination.
I've never heard that before. That's brilliant. Now, with I'm trying to think how you'd work.
You can have a bunt cake.
Big?
No, I'm combining.
And the other word.
Oh, a bunt. Oh,
right.
A bunt.
Right. A bunt.
Buzz thinks that woman is not only a bitch.
Well, I know that was Buzz's theory. I mean, so much.
Yeah.
I've missed so much, and I missed 2 hours on Thursday.
Nothing else happened on Thursday, except we did not hear from her after the show Thursday.
Yeah.
We did not hear from her Friday.
No.
Even though we knew that we weren't doing a show, we tried to contact her. We have not.
Now that would hold with Buzz's theory then.
Mm-hmm. We've not been able to get a hold of her. So Lisa, the homeless lady, if you're out there listening, call in. It's desperate. We want to tie up this loose end.
I think Buzz probably offended her.
Well, now Rob tells me that when she did not know that there would not be a show Friday, because what happened is, and Mike will tell you here,
right.
He left. He wasn't feeling well. He left and went to the hospital. And, hey, how about all of us? Let's just stop for a second and think about this.
Yeah.
I know it happened very quickly. We got done with the break, and Mike said to me, God, I feel like I can hardly breathe. I got to go to the hospital. I said, okay, bye. Everybody else just started doing what we had to do to
right.
do the show.
Doing the show.
Thinking about Mike, but no one thinking, hold on a second. He's had what may be a heart attack, could be just about anything. Guy feels so awful, he's got to go to the hospital. And we let him just get in his car.
By himself.
Well, that was partially my fault.
Bye, Mike.
That was partially my fault. I ran out of here.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that it was stupid for me to get into the car until the second wave kind of hit me on the way, and I should say on the way to wherever, because I had no idea where I was going.
You're right. Hold friends on. Don't let friends drive dizzy.
But before Mike cut out at about 5:15.
You would have been the one I wanted to drive.
There you go. I would have helped.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks. You know what?
Yes.
You would have been sitting there, your heart pounding like 1,000 beats a minute, and you know, old lady would have gone, you know, oop. Yellow means slow. You know what I would...
You know what? You would have gotten me there under any circumstances. You would have gone
up
on the sidewalk. You're right, aren't you?
The quickest.
Yeah.
I would have pulled a Batmobile move for you. A Bat move. But anyway.
She left on Thursday, which was like in the 4 o'clock hour, I think.
Right.
She was to come back and spend one more night through our care in your office.
Right.
And we never heard from her.
No, we didn't. So
through our care. That's right. We're looking.
You make it sound like a hospital.
It does.
So we really need this homeless lady, Lisa, to contact us. We have tried her cell.
I wanted to refute what Buzz had.
Yes, please. All we get is what, voicemail?
It goes direct to an automatic answer. And, you know, it could be that she was battling a limited number of minutes when we spoke recently.
Well, she should, if she's out there or any of these friends from her MySpace or whatever it is, leader account that she's friends with, they should contact her and say, she should call in. Otherwise, the only taste that we'll have in our mouth will be of a nice Bundt cake.
That's
and
right.
All credit will have to go to Buzz.
Any word from Joshua Tree on this woman at all?
Oh, yeah, he's standing by, ready to discuss.
Okay, he's not heard from her either.
We will.
But her sleeping bag is still here.
No.
We will talk to Joshua Tree.
Tasty.
So I know a lot of us were thinking maybe that behind the scenes there might be some planting of the fertile seed. On, you know, Thursday, maybe there would be an outside shot to crazy kids trapped in an office together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bottle of cheap wine.
Little baby on the way.
Right. But no.
Little baby Joshua Tree.
But no such luck. So, Lisa, if you're out there, call. We got an APB on you.
Good.
Okay? Now, let's talk about Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael.
Man, am I nervous.
Michael.
I am more nervous coming into this show to do this show than I've ever been in the 20 years we've worked together. And it didn't help that everybody, meaning well, has said to me when I came in today, are you okay? Are you okay?
Not me.
Are you okay? You didn't do it.
No.
You didn't do it.
No,
I don't think we
I saw
did.
Others do
and
it.
And I don't think anybody that was close
right.
to me on the show did.
I just screamed at you. You're alive.
Kevin, the manic, pimply-faced Kevin, who was here, was, I apologize, Kevin, because really, I probably shouldn't have said to you what I said to you, but Kevin said, in the most concerned tone of all, said, are you okay? I said, if one more person says that to me, I think I'm going to drop him. And I realized that was a little harsh, and he felt bad, and then I shook his clammy hand, and everything was fine after that. But I know that, you know, that everybody was a little concerned.
Oh, God.
So here's. I was concerned. I was just scared out of my mind.
Let me bring you up.
I'm still scared out of my mind.
Okay. We bring everybody up to where we were in the show.
Thanks, because you're going to need to help me with
and from my perspective, what happened, and Mike's got to take over.
Yeah. There are occasional times on this show where I will do the 10-minute monologue, but that's your territory, and I would really rather do the Socratic method, which is what I often talk about on
so
the show.
Great.
Because, Don, you and I do the Socratic method on this show. I basically want to take little small clumps of what happened to me and have you weave them together in a proper way. Because
I'd be
really,
glad to help.
There are chunks of time that I'm kind of zeroed in on, and there are other chunks of time I'm not really zeroed in on.
And just out of curiosity, what is this, Marcus Welby?
General Hospital.
Oh, General Hospital. Okay. All right. I get medical jokes. I knew it was something like that. I'm going to turn it off now.
It's lovely.
Okay.
So we're doing the show.
It's about 5 o'clock.
About 5 o'clock, and we're doing the Larry thing with the woman. I don't even know what it was. We're having a good time with it.
And then we had the pad because we were waiting for Gary Shandling to show up, and we were doing Larry King and then making a segue, and he was not calling when he was supposed to call.
And there was a very awkward moment because Rob was getting his balls busted by me. Like, come on, where is Gary Shandling?
Right.
And Buzz was doing what Buzz normally does, sits back and kind of waits for something to happen.
Right. And towards the end, when we're doing Larry King, my head was starting to feel heavy.
Huh.
I was starting to feel dizzy, and then I was starting to feel like a shortness of breath, and I was really starting to freak out. And we were doing what we do quite often without any problem at all, which is pad,
right,
where we're padding. And at this point, I'm not communicating to Don that I want him to end the break at all, but I'm just saying to myself, hang on, you don't want the lights to go out while you're on the air. You don't want to pass out during the show. And that is all that I
would
was
have been good
about.
Radio, my friend.
Yeah, it would have been great radio. That was all that I was thinking. And really, if you want the more sinister feeling, it was not that I didn't want to pass out during the show. I wanted, if that was the moment, I didn't want that to happen during the show. I really didn't want that to happen.
Of course not.
And so I was. And for whatever reason, Gary Shandling wasn't calling,
See,
so we were going on and on and on.
So I had no idea. And we're padding, and finally, it's like Rob is just sitting back in the corner like an animal licking his wounds, looking at his cell phone like, please ring and be Gary Shandling. Buzz is waiting for something to happen, and normally that's where Mike will help me out, and Mike was just standing there. I didn't know Mike didn't feel good.
No. Well, if you'd noticed that I was wearing a back brace because I got my my old bad back that I always have, and so I took that off. I ripped that off. Then I changed to an upright sitting position. Then I changed to a sitting position, and I'm changing all these different seating positions to try to, you know, get my head to start feeling better, and it just nothing was happening.
I couldn't tell. There was one moment when I finally, nobody was saying anything. It was like, and I said, am I the only one trying?
Uh-huh.
You know, because Rob was doing his thing, Buzz was waiting.
Right.
And I realized at that time, I looked at you, and really, you looked pale.
Yeah.
And then you said, I said, something like, what are we going
to
do?
Am you said, you made that statement, then I said something.
You said,
trying to be funny to help you out, which I didn't, wasn't really significant.
We went right to break.
Right.
And then here's what I remember.
I didn't give you 5 seconds.
And you fill us in. We go to break. Mike said, you said to me, I feel awful. I think I might have just had a heart attack. I think I'm okay, but I feel awful. I can't breathe. I got to go to the hospital now. Bye. I'm sorry. Bye. That was it, and you were out the door.
Gone.
Went out the door, went down into my car, realized that I still felt that way when I got into the car. I called Carla, and I get out, and as soon as I get into the car, you know, I feel kind of disoriented, and I don't know where I'm going. So I hop into the car, and I ended up on Main Street. And the only way I know where I'm going is I'm looking for a hospital sign.
Right.
It's a good thing you're surrounded by so many loving, caring friends. Yeah. I mean,
nobody
think about this.
Yeah, but I got out of here too quickly.
We didn't even know.
Yeah, I was freaked out. I just didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do. I was terrified. I was really terrified. I called Carla. I said, I'm having trouble. I'm feeling dizzy. I think I'm going to pass out. She said, are you driving? I said, yes, I am driving.
Yeah.
She said, do you know where you're going? I said, I think so, but I'm not really sure.
Right.
And the only way I got to any place where I should have gone.
Mahogany.
That's right.
Do you know where you're going to?
The only way that I got to where I was going was because I looked at a sign that had the blue hospital sign.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I'm in that wonderful Fairfax traffic, which was just nonstop, and traffic was going nowhere. And I'm sitting there just going, oh, gosh. Oh, boy. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I had no idea what to do. And I just pointed the car in the right direction and finally got close to where I see. I remember that there was this, I guess they call them satellite urgent care facilities.
Right.
Access,
sure.
Access.
And traffic was stopped, was just stopped. It was insane. It was crazy. And I ended up going over the median and coming against traffic because I was 100 yards from this emergency care center.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only thing I could think to do because I said, I'm not going to sit here 5 more minutes in traffic. You know where you're going to. So.
Oh, I was so nervous about doing this show to talk about this today.
No.
I already need a cold cloth.
Now hold on a second. Before,
get me my tranquilizers.
Here's what.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things?
Describe. Please to be describing.
See, that's why I asked for the Socratic method.
Please to be describing. And I'll try to do it like Mike Wallace last
night. Yes, Mike.
Because you don't have the
clip. Are you going to say, come on, like
come
Mike
on.
Wallace did?
Come on. And what's the other thing that is...
You know why I'm not doing that good a job of describing this? Because I'm still freaked out by it.
Well,
I am completely and totally freaked out by Friday. I realized, you know when I realized that? I realized that about midday yesterday. I started thinking about coming back in here, and because this is where it started... This is where, you know, and I know what it is. And let me first say, I was checked out physically. Everything is fine. Everything is cool. It's really embarrassing to say what the doctors concluded that it is. And
It's Joe Artinger. You can't work with him
anymore. Working with Joe Artinger.
Joe.
Well, Joe's experienced the same issue.
Yes, I know.
But,
and a good time.
Joe's taking his medicine for it. So
now,
it's,
hold on
it's
a
very
second.
Frustrating.
Here's the question I would have, because really, after you left when... You called during a break and told Rob you were at the hospital.
I was in the hospital bed when I talked to Rob.
Okay. We all thought that, not you were checking out,
right?
But thought that you were going to have a heart attack or that you were having one because that's what you had said to me.
Yeah, so did I.
What were the symptoms that you were feeling
Number one symptom?
That made you think that.
The number one symptom during the show was that I thought I was going to pass out. I thought actually that the lights were going to go out.
Lightheaded.
Number two was I couldn't get a good breath. That lasted till about 8 o'clock at night.
Ooh.
Where I was actually trying to get the good breath. And the nurses in the ER over here at the Fairfax Satellite ER Chambers Road, they were fantastic. And they kept coming by and I was on this monitor. And they kept saying to me, breathe. Breathe, mm-hmm. breathe, which apparently is an issue for me in my regular life, that I have to take deep breaths like this. I always like to not have people hear me breathe on the
course,
show because I don't want to sound like a smoker. So I actually now have to make an effort to take deep breaths more often. That's a self-diagnosis. But the symptoms were plain and simple. I thought the lights were going to go out. I thought I was going to pass out. I was going to lose consciousness. And because I've had that kind of lightheaded feeling with the pollen, I've had that before,
right?
But this was one where it actually kept going, and I couldn't get it back. And it was, and I looked at you, and I finally said something. I don't even remember what I said, but it was, Don, I'm really feeling like I'm going to pass out. I think I'm having a heart. I got to go. And I was in that car. I was in my car inside of 5 minutes. I don't think anybody besides you and Rob even knew that I was leaving because I flew to my car. I actually got to my car quickly.
No, I didn't know.
When I got in my car, and the thing that was killing me is I have this. I'm on the phone with Carla. She's saying, you shouldn't be driving.
Right.
I say, well, I know I shouldn't be driving, but I am driving, and I want to get to this place. And I'm leaned over to the side in my car because I'm trying to position my body in such a way that I'm not going to feel this lightheadedness. And I'm trying to also, like, expand my chest. I'm trying to do all this stuff. And I can see the red sign that says emergency.
Okay.
And there is a median.
You got to make a left-hand turn, right?
You have to make a left-hand turn. You know the one
driving.
I'm talking about.
Sure.
And you have to make a left-hand turn over the median. And traffic is stopped to such an extent where I can see up ahead that we go through two light cycles, which means traffic is so thick that it's not going to move. It's not going anywhere.
And it's bumper to bumper on a good-looking Friday or Thursday, whatever the day was.
It was 5 o'clock. It was right in the middle of it. And I make a decision at this point. I said, okay, is this going to be – I see an ambulance pull out of this ER. And I have two decisions in my somewhat confused state. I'm going to get out of my car – and wave to the ambulance, which to me would be absolute idiocy. Or
taxi.
Or I'm going to do, you know, not only is traffic not going in the direction, it's not coming the other way. Something's going on up there. There's no traffic coming at me. There's no traffic coming, and I would estimate, I'm going to say conservatively, I'm 70 to 80 yards away from the driveway of this place where I can walk in and at least tell somebody what's going on. And this is causing me more anxiety than I've had before. So I make an editorial decision at this point. I said, you know what? God, that's why I have a big... I'm so glad I didn't get that hybrid done because I have a big oversized SUV.
Right.
And I go... And this is a big median, too. And I go over this thing and I go, ka-ching! And I look to my right, and this lady is looking at me like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
Crazy, man.
And I see no cars coming until I just get moving forward. And then I don't see any cars coming because there's a Metro bus coming. And there is a Metro bus coming. And anybody that's ever dealt with a Metro bus, they only go really, really fast when you don't want them to.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, this guy was going super fast. So I absolutely... punch it. I practically went into the parking lot of this ER on two wheels. And at that point, I don't think it was as close as I thought it was, but I see this thing coming like that. And I take a left and I'm just flying. I don't know what's wrong. I'm still feeling the same way. As soon as I get to the ER, I don't even park in the parking lot. And I don't park in the little overhang where they bring the ambulance.
Where'd you leave your car?
There's another entrance to the ER. It's his emergency. And I parked it right there, right in front of the doors, put it in park, took my keys, walked in. And as soon as I walk in, I get the lady. And she turned out to be very sweet. But the first reaction was, you know, I'm not bleeding from any major orifice, so all this is, like, internal,
right.
And it's inside of me. And I look at her, and I say, I have the presence of mind to say to the lady, excuse me, yes, I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I think I may be having a heart attack.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Can we just go, please? We go? I mean, look at me. Look at me. Your money, you know what else? You're a big winner tonight. I want to leave. You're a big winner. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino? Huh? Mikey, that's who. Mikey's the big winner. Mikey wins.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello? CD1?
There we go.
Don likes them.
Right.
Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Just waiting on that CD. Just a second, isn't it? I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arnger, with you on this fine Wednesday. And, well, Mike had a meltdown during the show in the last segment. So he went to the hospital, and we rejoined with Mike back at home on the best of Don and Mike.
So I got home. I was feeling better. I was feeling better that I had been checked out, but I still had, kind of a tight feeling and a little tough getting the breaths and stuff. And it was just, it was lingering. It lingered well into Saturday, actually, that I was, when I, first started feeling a little bit better. And it was good all the way up until I got here today. So it was something that they gave me, what's called, I think it's Ativan, which is a tranquilizer.
Right.
And I took the...
I think they're giving to that horse, incidentally, with the bum leg.
That's right.
The Ativan.
Barbaro?
Yeah.
Poor horse.
Yeah. That poor future piece of meat.
You know, when you've seen your life flash before you're done, you think differently about
it. You can relate
things.
To that horse.
You know, up there, you're going to get up there, and that horse is going to be looking right at you. It's going to be staring at you and saying, just a little sensitivity for my broken hoof.
Hey, Ma, it's a hoof.
So I get there, and they gave me this tranquilizer. Which I did not take today.
Now.
Yeah.
Hold on. What's your long-term prognosis?
Well, my long-term prognosis is, I don't know.
Have you been to see another doctor?
No.
Why?
Because I've got an appointment with the cardio person to check out my ticker. And that's a specialist, okay? I mean, could I get in today? Don't I wish? No, I can't.
Oh, no, okay.
I think she's available maybe July of 2020.
Oh, that's handy.
Well... Gosh, then maybe you should find another doctor.
No, this is a...
What about a head doctor?
No, this is the... Well, I've thought about that.
Well, no, if which, hold on, which do you think in your heart it was? No pun intended
right there.
In your heart. It's only Monday. There's no off switch, folks.
Right.
In your heart, what do you think it... Don't look at me like that. What do you think it was? Do you think it was really a panic attack, or do you think that maybe you're having some type of mild...
No, I mean, I was checked out thoroughly, and I have been. You know, I've been to a cardiologist before, and they did everything. They did all the work.
Okay.
That will tell you that.
Then.
So, frankly, I agree with their diagnosis, which was this can be brought on by an anxiety attack. This was anxiety. I don't know whether one would call it a panic attack because a panic attack has different kind of symptoms, but this was an anxiety-based reaction.
Then
where
you got to find yourself like a Dr. Melfi.
But here are the factors that contribute to this, and I read up on this. This can be brought on by a physical ailment. Now, all you guys know that all week, this back thing has, been something where, I've been, I can't sit in here and get really comfortable. It's something that, and that can bring on the type of symptoms I had. So I can only go with what they printed out on the little sheet that said that. And as far as getting a second opinion or going to see somebody, I think I will do that. And the first thing I'm going to do is go to the cardiologist, which is I got the earliest appointment that I could get. There are no other people that I can see right now that I'm going to go step by step by step. If the cardiologist says, I think this was an anxiety-based thing, you ought to see somebody and maybe they can maybe help you with that. You know, the more I think about it, this could be, something that is an anxiety-based disorder. Or it could be, if the cardiologist says, we want to take a look at this element of things, but they really have done that, and they ran all the tests. And so, I mean, you're only as good as what your doctors say. And now I know it's going to happen, because we're going to get the death sayers. They're going to be calling and saying...
No, okay, then I'll be the devil's advocate, and I'll tell you so we...
No, you're not supposed to do that. I'm under a great deal of stress.
So you don't have to take those calls.
Doctor's orders.
So you don't have to take those calls.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you've lost weight, you are overweight, you do drink, you don't exercise.
I do exercise.
But not as much. I mean, come on. I mean, really?
Yeah, but I mean, I do, but I mean, I, the, the exercise is not part of my weight loss, but as over the weekend, yeah.
I'm talking about for stress reduction.
Okay.
I'm talking about anybody will tell you. And so you get past all of that. Then you say, Mike, how do you know it's a panic attack? You haven't been to a doctor, to a real doctor. You went to an emergency. This is what I would say to you. Mm-hmm. In real life, we've not discussed it. It's crystallized. You went to an ER, and no offense to them,
right.
But they're like working on the fly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't take, and I've been to the ER, no offense to them, I never take their opinion. It's like they process people like McDonald's in there. If I had gone to an ER and thought I had a heart attack.
Oh, this is stressing me.
Hold on.
Jesus.
If I had thought I had a heart attack really, and went to an
actually,
emergency
room. Actually, this is actually calming me down.
Went to an emergency room, and on Friday night they let me go, and then I'd like, I just, act, not that you're doing this, but I just act, I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, well, I'm just going to go on because I got a piece of paper from a guy at the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, how come
would
you're not...
You go, would you go to a general practitioner who you knew was not going to give you any information that was new, or would you want to go to a cardiologist?
Or are you just... I'd say this is your friend. Are you afraid of what you might find out?
No.
My God,
I've been to a cardiologist three different times.
You are afraid about the situation, right? I mean, about the way you felt? You were scared about that?
I was, when we were in the office and everybody was talking to me and everybody was coming up,
yeah.
I got a little bit of it again there too. I really did, I'll be honest with you. Because it was everybody just going, you know, President Hughes, who comes up, ready to get back to it? You know, comes in with that, and it was just kind of weird. And then three people were all saying the same thing. And I had anxiety about coming in and telling the story.
Right.
More than I've ever, a million worse things have happened to me, really, in my life, that I've come in here and I've relished it. I'm calm now. Before the show, when I came in here, I was freaking out. I didn't tell you guys that because I didn't want to freak out, because I didn't want to tell this. To answer your question, am I worried about this? Am I a little freaked out about this? Yes. Second part of that. Do I think I know what it is? Yeah. And because I know what it is, it doesn't freak me out that much. Because I really do believe that this is probably an anxiety-based deal.
As your friend, I would say to you, where's your medical degree?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you're telling me is, and I'd say this is your friend. I'm
right.
Not busting your chops. You could turn it on me anytime you want to. I mean, really, I'm not trying to be adversarial. You think you agree with what one guy at an emergency room said. You think you're okay.
Based on the fact that...
But you felt the...
Can I answer your question?
You had the feeling today.
Can I answer your question?
Am I the problem?
Can I answer you the question? Seriously?
am I the problem?
Well, no, but you're being a little bit unfair to me here, and I want to answer the question.
I'm not trying to be unfair.
You asked me, you know, I'm not a doctor. I have had, on a regular basis, my ticker checked out. I've had it, you know, checked out. I also have... My information went from the ER doctor to this doctor who was briefed on the situation, and I asked the person, I didn't speak with the doctor directly, but made the appointment. She said, well, she doesn't think it's anything that you need to get in, but she would like to see you.
Okay.
Anyway, now, the other answer to that question is, so from that standpoint, I do agree, based on circumstances and the way I felt, that this is part of it. Do I think that that might require some more medical care on my part as far as the way I handle this? Yeah.
Oh,
right now,
you know,
I'm sitting there with, you know, with four Ativan in a box.
Okay.
And, you know, that's it. And I plan to do more than that.
Then you clarified that. Thank you. I only asked because I don't want to come in and do the show by myself. I don't want you checking out. I've already been through that with one person, so I'm just being blunt with you about this.
But I'm also open-minded. I take anybody's advice as far as how anybody else would handle this. I think I've done everything that I was supposed to do.
Even if you... So I go with you. You're going to see your cardiologist. You're sure it's not your ticker.
Somewhere in June.
Okay, but you're sure it's not your ticker, and you believe that it's a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to you on Friday, on Thursday. Disabled you from work on Friday. You had to take it easy over the weekend. You had another panic attack, a mini one, or you got the feeling before the show today.
Right, right.
Why wouldn't you see a doctor to address that problem? And I don't know if I'm talking about a general practitioner, if I'm talking about a Dr. Melfi type. I guess
the answer to that question, because one person I know that I would talk to about this, I don't, and this is, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here. I don't want to slam, you know, my primary care physician, but my primary care physician is, you know, I've got a bad cold or I got a scratchy throat. I go to him for that. I wouldn't feel confident dealing with him for this.
If I
had a GP who I could go to, you know, right now the cardiologist who is probably more familiar with these type of situations is, you know, who I've chosen to see. If I, you know, continue to, you know, feel like I should go to somebody, I would do it. Right now, I think I'm doing the right thing. Right now, I'm pretty confident that I've gotten the right kind of medical care.
But here's the, I know, well, hello, since Frida died, again, I take Xanax.
Yeah.
I take a Xanax when I feel anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I found out you can't just go to the doctor, a GP, and say,
hey, I need Xanax.
Yeah, you know what he says? I'd love to give it to you, but first you got to go see a head doctor,
right,
who then will call me and tell me, yes, that you're anxious so that I can prescribe it. I mean, that's kind of, if you do have a problem with stress,
right,
or anxiety,
right,
at least that's how...
Your GP is supposed to quarterback for all the other doctors. He's supposed to coordinate all the doctors.
My worry with you is, and I swear to Christ, I'm free to live and being honest with you, you got like four of those pills left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What if you don't see a doctor and you take them, and if it's this week or next week or whatever, and then you have a panic attack and you don't have, not that the pill is the answer,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right, but right, right.
It's just that's my concern.
Well, yeah, that's a valid concern, and I'll take it to heart, and I'll try to, you know,
I mean,
maybe make a few phone calls and try to figure it out, you know, what I'm going
to
do.
I'm trying to be supportive. I'm not.
Yeah, you nobody
look, to bust your balls.
I don't want to pull back the curtain at all, but I will and say that, you know what, you know, you, as far as I'm concerned, what you needed to do for me on Thursday night and Friday was, you know, was absolutely the perfect thing. If anybody calmed my ass down, I mean, you did. You really did. I was very, very, Don and I had a long talk. I'm not going to go into the details of that long talk, but the fact is, you know, you mentioned when you've been talking about what you've dealt with that, you know, you're kind of a new person. And I don't think that 5-10 years ago we have that conversation. I don't think that happens. I don't think that happens by a long shot. So when you say that to me, I mean, I know you say it out of genuine concern. Know this, that I'm also, you know, reacting to something that's really brand new to me, that I've really, you know, I have been, when I've gone through, you know, separations and difficulty in relationships, I was, you know, that's when I headed down that road of take this, take this, take this. You know that because of that, it's a very, very tough thing for me to think, you know, take a pill and you'll do with
that. And I'm not advocating that that's
before
the answer.
You know, and I don't know whether that's the answer either. Do I think that maybe it would be a good idea to see somebody? Yeah. Do I think that that person is my particular guy? No, I'd be welcome, you know, and I'll pick both of your brains because I know you know lots of people that do that. You know,
I have a few names I can.
You know, seriously, it might be time for me to do that because of, you know, it's all about feeling confidence in that particular area, and you know, and I just didn't. When I was asked to give a name of a physician, I went right to this cardiologist.
Right.
This is the person who has treated me for this. It was not the other person, and because specialists are specialists are specialists. You know, well, the first availability is that, and because it was not, and it wasn't. I have to be honest with you.
No, okay, I got you.
You can't file this under...
Heart attack, I got you.
You can't. So, I mean, they're not going to see you the next day. They're going to see you when their schedule opens up.
No, you know, now that you're mentioning this, this is like, well, you're like Jack Nicholson in that movie with Diane Keaton.
But he had a real one.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the second time.
Mm-hmm.
When he sees her in the restaurant and he gets anxious and he's positive he's having a heart attack.
Right.
And he gets there and he's saying, you know, whenever he's saying, my heart's pounding out of my chest, and they give him a Valium or something, they say, you know, hey, listen, pal,
right,
you know, you're anxious, dude.
Right.
I mean, I guess, you know, that's you.
What? Let me ask
to
you this.
Because I mean, it's all of us.
Look, I know you mean well. If you were me, seriously, because I'm open to, you know, I'm an open-minded person. There's one thing I can do, and that is I can step back and I can look from the outside in and evaluate my situation and take all the information and then make an educated decision. I thought up until this point, you know, really listening to what you had to say, and obviously you agree with him, Buzz,
maybe
I was doing, you know, I had done the right thing, that, you know, getting this appointment, getting this set. You're saying, you know, maybe perhaps a little more urgency on my part to just get this figured out, what's going on.
I
what,
would.
What, what would you do? I mean, I'm not sure I have a GP that I'd want to
contact. First off, his wife works for a doctor. If that recommendation is not good enough, mm-hmm. you know my friend Tom, who knows 1,000 outstanding doctors.
And I got to play golf with enough doctors.
And
that, I know that.
And right. put on top of that, you know.
I got a goddamn relative that's a doctor. So,
And I got my
I just hate doctors.
I got my own Dr. Melfi.
I do hate doctors, you know.
Well, but that.
But you know what? Here.
But you got to go to the doctor.
I got
to
really pull back the curtain here, okay?
Okay.
Oh, God.
Pull it.
My life is an open book.
Pull it.
Oh, this is hard.
Pull it.
This is very hard.
Pull it.
I know you're talking about a Dr. Melfi. And the Dr. Melfi that I saw when I went to see him, we're talking, when we say Dr. Melfi's, we're talking, there's a difference between psychologists and psychiatrists,
absolutely.
Okay? Psychologists are people that can counsel you, that can give you advice. Psychiatrists prescribe medication. They're medical doctors.
The
they're MDs,
right.
and they can do that.
Right.
That's the difference. When I, the only time in my life that I ever talked to somebody doing that was without a doubt the worst part of my life. And because of that, I hear that. I hear the idea of seeing somebody like that. And I just say to myself, oh, God, I don't want to do this. But you know what? It's like mechanics.
It's like
grocery stores. It's like you get good ones, you get bad ones. And it's not that this guy was a bad guy. It just happened that he prescribed stuff for me at a time when it was just it was very difficult.
Don't base this on the Paxil and the fact that you
know what? That was a horrible time for me.
Right, and that was because of you going through your divorce and then...
Yeah,
and
but it, I mean, it was also counselors saying to me, you're bad because of this, and
I was getting
snowed. And I, you know what? That takes a long time to get by that because you put your trust in somebody that's supposed to help you, mm-hmm. and then, you know, they're... God, oh, don't! I could go on for 3 hours about that.
Right,
but maybe I should do that. Maybe I should do that in a psychiatrist's office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's no secret that people that do what we do on any level, you know, that most of us are pretty screwed up, and I don't want to say screwed up. It's just it's a normal thing to do.
No,
yes,
really,
it is.
No, you're screwed up.
Well, of course I'm screwed.
You're
up.
You're totally screwed
I'm
up.
I'm totally screwed up. I know
mean,
I'm screwed up.
Very good.
It's just the first time that my screwed upness manifested itself. But you know what, boy? You always talk about this, too.
What?
I feel as good as I felt in 3 days. I feel right
now. If I could give you one
the load,
last...
where is it?
No, it's
gone.
It ain't gone. It ain't gone because, man, as your friend, you got issues. I know you've got issues that I would not bring up on the air, and you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
We all do.
That I think... I've listened to you talk on the couch for long enough.
Yeah.
The problem is right there,
mm-hmm.
right in your head.
Mm-hmm.
If you felt good opening up on the radio and getting some of it out,
right.
I'm not an advocate of, you know, say laying on the couch. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, man, let someone who doesn't know anything about your situation
right.
hear it and get some objective advice. You know, or at least somebody to listen.
Yeah.
Who's not going to judge you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, as good as it feels to get it out here.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can't say everything you feel here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be 100% honest.
No.
You know what I mean.
I can't pour my soul out.
Well, you could.
I
think it would be fantastic.
I come from a background where you kind of, you know, maybe it is the New England thing a little bit. You don't let those things out,
right?
You deal with it. And it's something that, there are two things that happened to me on Thursday when I was sitting there Thursday night. Number one, I realized early on that it was not necessarily that, you know, obviously mental things can manifest themselves physically, but that I didn't have the ticker issue that I really thought about for a long time. I think I probably was sold on the fact that that wasn't the problem. Number two, it was the first time in my life that I realized that everything that goes on in a person's life, if it's significant, can manifest itself physically. And with that realization, I realized that maybe you're right. I should seek out the right way, and I probably could do a better job of that. And I will do that. I will try that.
And you should do it because, you know, without being a faggot with you, you know, there's people that care about you.
You know what?
You're a big stupid F. And
today was
take care of yourself.
Today was a little bit much coming in here, but you know, it's so funny. I don't mean any offense to anybody here. I really,
especially
really
Orientals.
I don't really mean offense.
No disrespect.
You know what? The people that know me the best didn't You just,
right.
You know, we didn't deal with it. You know, didn't say, hey, what's going on? You knew that I was going to talk. You know,
right.
You knew I was coming in here. I don't think I communicated to you how difficult this was going to be for me to come in and talk about it. It's much easier now to talk about. It really is. But everybody, you know, was extremely supportive. And, you know, no, the answer is I didn't know that. You don't know that. That's the way I live my life. You know how I am. I cruise around and I just think, hey, do your job, show up. You said this to me before. You know, you realize how many people do care. And I appreciate that. And I think that I will take your advice and I will make some phone calls. I'll make some phone calls tomorrow and let you know how that goes.
Just, it's everybody's advice to you, I think.
Yeah, I see. But it was not done out of fear or neglect or anything. It was done because I kind of thought I had done everything I should do. And now hearing you guys talk, it kind of says, well, maybe I should do a couple more things to do that. So I'll pick your brain. I'll get some, you know.
Good.
We're not going to the same shrink, though. That's not going to happen. I don't think that's, you know.
Why?
Because
he already knows all about you.
It'll save a lot of time,
anyway. he's got a dossier on you.
Like,
okay.
Nice. But seriously, to Don, to Rob, and to Buzz,
yeah.
All of you guys were very, very nice over the weekend and just extremely supportive, especially, you know, Don, and when you said to me, hey, just chill out on Friday, and because that's what you need to do, because, you know, I would have come in here on Friday and tried to do it.
See, that's the honest part. That's when, because said to Mike, yeah, we do the show, no problem,
mm-hmm.
right? I said, yeah, I tell right away. So, you know, why don't you just take the day off?
Right.
And then you said, well, okay, I guess. And then I said, well, would you feel more comfortable? And you said, I would feel so much stress if you guys did the show without me. And I thought you were being very honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, well, it's true. I don't know why I've always felt, you know.
And what the hell? I mean, I was thinking on Thursday night, you're talking to me about having maybe a heart attack or a panic attack. And while we're talking about doing the show Friday, you're saying, you know, if you guys go in and do the show without me, I'm going to be stressed out. But on the other hand, I really can't come in and do the show because I'm going to be too stressed out. But I want to come do the show. But if you do it without me, I'm going to be more stressed out.
I realized about noon on Friday that your call as far as me not coming in on Friday. Because you don't think, you know, when you're in a situation like that, I don't care anybody that's ever been there. You can't help. It's a normal feeling to feel guilty because you're like, God, there's mm-hmm. sick people in here.
Right.
God almighty, there's an old lady like from a nursing home that broke her arm that was just howling, and she was in real pain. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there, you know, going, oh, gee, I've got an elevated heart rate. It's like you feel guilty. And I still feel guilty a little bit, but I also know at the same time that I did the exact thing, the proper thing. Mm-hmm. I did the right thing because I wasn't
gonna, except for the driving part.
Part. Everybody has told me that, so that's it. So okay. I'll let you know how it goes.
All
and
right.
I hope I find a doctor. Ooh, I hope I find a doctor.
Do we have a plan now? Like if this happens again, do we know who's going to drive you? Are we all set?
My plan right now, Buzz,
Joe,
will be to get a general practitioner.
Joe.
A new GP that I'm going to go to and talk to.
I think Buzz was speaking about
it. No,
when you have your next on-air attack.
Right, who wants to be the driver?
We need a designated driver.
The bottom line is you have to be here with Rob and Buzz to do the show.
Right. I think a driver is the wrong way to go. I think we should trade out and have a doctor here all the time. And we can trade it out.
We can trade it?
Sure.
Okay. Will it be that doctor that was in the Cannonball Run movie?
Why don't we just get a station ambulance? put the wraparound logo. Us on one side, the junkies on the other.
The ambulance, but we'll put your pictures backwards so when you look in the rearview mirror, you look right.
All right, we got a break. A decent producer would have said we should break, even though Mike's pouring his soul out.
Hey, come on. Stop the fighting. Stop the fighting!
Now look what you've done.
Look what you've done.
Look what we've done.
Look what you've done.
Okay, stop it! I can't feel my left hand.
Mike's Breakdown is brought to you by Head On.
Yes.
Head On products available without a prescription at retailers nationwide. Try Head On today. That's for Westwood One.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So.
Jesus, we made it.
Yeah.
Made it.
Congratulations. You made it through 1 hour.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, that's that 5 o'clock hour that I'm shooting for right here.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Thanks. Glad you're okay.
Don and Mike, go to break and go to traffic.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
God!
What?
8 is enough.
You know I love you, girls.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
Right.
The best of Don and Mike.
And it is the best of Don and Mike. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arnger, with you on, well, now it's a sunny Wednesday afternoon, but it's cold and it is windy here on the East Coast. But that's okay, because we're hanging out, popping a few beers, and listening to the best of Don and Mike. Oh, yeah, and for all things Don and Mike, don't forget donandmikewebsite.com. You can check out all the funny pictures and get downloads and all kinds of groovy stuff. So don't forget about that, okay? Okay. All right, let's get back into it. Now, we've heard all about Mike's meltdown, and now we're going to take calls from you, the experts on everything. I'm the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Brenda.
Yes, Brenda.
Congratulations, Brenda.
Hi, I'm okay. Mike, I have the same thing that you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's why you didn't notice we didn't ask how you were.
Of course you do.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, Brenda.
Brenda!
I take Ativan 4 times a day.
Mm-hmm. And see how good it's working for her, Mike?
Yeah, and this is precisely the reason this might be the reason I didn't take it before the show today.
Why?
Because I really didn't want to have it, because if we were doing
it's a good thing you didn't. I mean, every time I saw you or talked to you over the weekend, you'd be like, I'm not. I only took it an hour ago, and you were just...
It takes a while to get used to.
Mike was so high over the weekend on this stuff.
Ativan and pie for little Brenda.
Yes, sir.
But when they send you to the psychologist or whatever, what the first thing they're going to do is they want to put you in this group, and then they want to bring on the panic attack to show you how to cope with it. And I wasn't...
Mike, you don't have to believe everything everybody calling says.
Or anything. Yeah, young Brenda, let me just tell you this. First of all, I will not be in a group. That will not
that's
be
what
happening.
I told them. That's mm-hmm. what I said. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what I will say and mean it.
Now she's up to 4 a day.
Have you ever been hospitalized, Brenda?
Yep, because the first time it happened, they thought I had a stroke, and I was in the hospital for 7 days.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Brenda. Say hi to Rhonda and Rhoda. Bye now.
That was a
Bye
very
now.
Uplifting call. You know that goodwill that I told you about during the commercial
what do
you
break? Expect?
It's erased. It's
Hello, here. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, okay.
I had the same thing, too, and I'll keep it short and brief. Mike, it's hard to deal with, but the first thing I'm going to tell you is probably to quit drinking because I was a pretty heavy drinker, too.
Yeah.
But with if you really apply yourself, you can drink through it. And come out on the other side.
Well.
There you go.
But
now that's
dedication.
Is that the type of positive call you're looking for?
It's a good call right here.
Yeah.
It's a real good call.
Not a naysayer.
I had a mimosa over the weekend.
Not in Mike's show. Of course you did.
Right without a man.
Of course you did. Why not?
The exact same thing happened to me. Complete with going to the hospital. It was about 10 years ago. And I ran out of medication, thought that's a one-time thing, and I ended up back in the emergency room with the same thing. So you definitely want to make sure that you have medication. Even if you're not taking it, it'll make you feel good that you have it.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad call.
Insurance.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye. Aren't we a society of pussies?
Mm-hmm. Take a pill.
Where's my pill? Speaking of, where's mine? Oh, that's right. I don't even bring them to work anymore. That's how strong I am.
Look at you go.
Good for you. I don't bring my little Xanax to work.
Here I come to save the day.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Mighty Mouse.
Hello.
Mighty Hello. Mouse.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Mike, don't worry. Don't believe that group thing. That's nonsense.
Well, I think Brenda perhaps...
I have a splendid psychiatrist who's given me my own magical pills for my own little anxiety disorder, and he's never said one word to me about any group thing.
I would do a group.
You ever do a group, Don?
That was a... Well, they had us sit in a circle.
I said
to some guy, what a jerk you are. And I realized I was in the wrong group.
Circle.
As it turned out, I was in the right group. But
was that the one you told me about where it was all men and then the doctor sat in the middle of the circle and told you all to thread the needle?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one that could. I said, I don't see how this is going to help me with my anxiety.
Help!
And then they let me sign a release to be in the film.
Right. You didn't even know you were being filmed until after the fact.
Hello, right. Don and Mike Show.
And the doctor said that's so you would behave naturally.
Hello.
Baby.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, just a quick comment about the Ativan.
Yeah, go ahead.
we used to have a little nickname for it on the street.
Yes?
Three.
We used to call it Ativan.
Out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I bet they had a nickname for you on the street. Was it Pump?
Not quite.
Not quite. Yeah. Oh.
Thanks, though. You're
very close.
Something nicer.
Bye.
Eat two.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Eat two, Brutus.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
You talking to me?
Negative.
Not anymore.
Negative. Hello, Don and Mike show. Turn it down. Turn phone down. Down. Good boy.
He turned it down and put it down.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yes, pick up, please.
Come on now, no speakerphone, please.
So impersonal.
Okay.
Come over. Were you on the other side of the room?
I like him better at a distance.
Don and Mike. Don and Mike.
See? See, we're wasted.
I don't know. All I know is he's singing some song about us.
I think he played all the instruments himself.
I think he's milking his instrument.
He is. Much like when you went to group.
That's it. He's gone.
Okay, gentlemen, glad to have you all here. Please pull your stools closer together.
Oh, much like you did with Gary Shandling. Mm-hmm. Oh, when he finally called. Christ, I crawled up in there. I mean, I was.
Did he appreciate it, or was he put off by it?
I think so.
He did.
I was right up there where food comes out. Hello, Don and Mike show. I mean, I was neck deep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Golden Boy, walk it off, Dink.
Thank you.
Walk it off. That's his advice.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Coach. Give me a shot. I just need a shot. Cut me, Mick.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay, how you doing?
I am well. Hey,
yeah,
Mike.
Don and Mike show. Big Monday episode, everybody. How about the Super Sopranos last night? Vito is dead. Hello.
Mike, I just wanted to let you know I felt the same way after seeing Elliot Yamin's mother cry.
That's what did it.
Shortness of breath.
That's what did it. The parade footage.
Hold on. I actually said this to my girlfriend over the weekend when I was discussing your health.
Yes.
I said, you know, I thought it was weird that Mike cried during Elliot Yamin. I did. I said, don't look at me like that. Like,
no, I'm glad. Well, so you basically you adhere to the same philosophy of walk it off.
Was
right?
A red flag? No.
It's a red flag.
No, that's what I'm saying. I said, no, I'm not saying walk it off.
That I cried was a red flag.
I said to her, think about it. I've known Mike a long time. He couldn't have been out of his mind drunk because you were here doing the show.
I wasn't drunk at all. Not watching Elliot.
But you were drunk earlier in the night, right? And then
I was. Did I watch it on TiVo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was loaded. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but still.
So that's what it was.
But you cried at Elliot Yamin being kicked off American Idol.
And that was a red flag to you.
Should have been a red flag that Mike is got panic and anxiety issues.
A man on the edge?
Really?
No, I said, you know,
I'm so happy you figured it out. I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time. So happy you figured that out. I'm so happy that was the red flag. Man, it gets me all choked up.
I didn't
right
mention
now.
That. You know, he did cry about American Idol. About Elliot Yamin.
Well, I was seeing his mom. You know, I mean, seeing his mom. Right. She was overcome with emotion in the parade for the poor lad.
I saw his
mom in Richmond, Virginia. I thought it was a very touching moment.
I saw his mom on TV on the National Geographic Channel.
The shrunken head part?
Shrunken head.
Did you see her when you were at the emergency care place?
Yes, I did. Saw about five of her, actually. Delightful.
Hello there. Oops, Don and Mike show. Hello.
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 How are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you.
How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm getting better. But I saw the radio that I listen to you guys on every single day walk across the floor.
Really?
Really?
I mean, actually travel across the floor real slow. Uh-huh. I put it down with a can. Come back in here, the radio in here. I asked my girlfriend, I said, I know you. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
I know you see that radio moving.
Who is?
My shoes start moving. I went to Sinai Hospital.
Who is?
And they did the same thing for me. And I had stopped drinking for a week.
I didn't understand. Like, this is a brother in arms with you.
He said he had to stop drinking for a week. I should point out.
I had stopped, and I think it caught up with me.
Oh, you had stopped drinking for a week.
I had stopped.
Things radio started walking.
So did you get better when you started drinking again?
Thank you. Yes, I did.
Oh, so that was the key.
I think it was, but I'm not drinking as much as I used to.
Good for you.
And again,
where's the sense in that?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Take one.
Quiet, please. Recording.
Go again. I found a way to cook.
Take two.
I found a way to cook extra great. Come on over and try my crispy. It's entirely different. And yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger-licking good. Right? You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy. And I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, real crispy chicken crust. Yeah, yet it's entirely different. No.
This will be Wild Lines 30. Take one.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Stop again.
He said cut it.
Go ahead.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. Yet tender and juicy. Is that it? Yeah.
That's
right.
Cut it.
It's better.
Take two.
Colonel, if you read it. Okay, we're recording.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe.
Take three.
It's entirely different. It's entirely different. Whatever, but now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let me get that scratched off of there and quit looking at it.
Quiet, please.
That real crusty, real what kind of damn crispy crust. It's really different. Now you can have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe and my new extra crisp.
Crispy.
New extra crispy. I thought I said that. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. It's entirely different. Yet every bit of finger-licking good, you see. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down to get that real crispy crust some folks like. I better do that again, huh?
Yes.
All right. You don't want me to sing, do you, for Christ's sake?
We're rolling. This is the good one. Take five.
Most folks have heard about
it. All right, that's good. Good, very nice.
That's why folks call it finger.
Sounds good.
That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good.
Right, I'm not getting anywhere with this damn thing.
Okay, fine. The Don and Mike Show.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the Best of Dynamite. There's a classic Best of card. Old Colonel Sanders trying to get through his commercials. Hey, but here's something else you need to look out for. WJFK is giving away a trip for two to Tokyo, Japan for the world premiere of Spider-Man 3. Go to WJFK.com now, click the Spider-Man 3 logo, and get the web word of the day. Listen for your cue to call. 10th caller with the web word qualifies for the trip. We'll draw the winner on Friday. So there you go. Now you're hip and in the know. Let's get back into the best of Don and Mike. And, you know, Don got... These tapes are from when Don started dating his then-new girlfriend, Janet. Now she's his main squeeze, but there was a time when she finally came on the air, and I believe it's on this segment of The Best of Don and Mike.
The weekend, I got to get this in fast, because there's at least one thing you're going to find interesting. Not the fact that my girlfriend spent actually two over the, like, let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so the two nights out of five. She spent at the house. Awesome. So that was a little, you know, that was fine, but that's a period of adjustment. Nice. I'll discuss that with you another time.
Okay.
We're out to dinner Saturday night. And I think I'm going to take her to a nice place. So we went to, here's a shock, to the Palm Restaurant.
Hey, you got to go with consistency.
The one in Virginia, not the one downtown.
Right.
So I call at the last minute. You know, it's that deal. They don't open till 4
right.
on Saturday. And I call and I speak to David, the guy there, and he's, you know, I'm just so such an uncomfortable clod socially. I said, hey, it's me. I know it's Saturday night and everything, but, you know, I'm going to take my new girlfriend out. And he said, oh, wow, we'd be glad to meet her. So right away, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I've put too much pressure on the on myself already. So the whole time we're driving over there, I'm saying to her, now, listen, you know, I shouldn't have said it like that. She says, don't worry, everything's going to be fine.
Get the accordion player. Did they go ahead and get the accordion player?
Here's what happened to assuage my whatever fears, insecurity, whatever it was. When we walk in, we are standing in that little lobby area, and there was a group of people standing there as well, and I recognized immediately the celebrity. The celebrity then came up to me and said, hello, Don? And I said, yes, and put his hand out, and he said, I'm celebrity. And because I'm stupid, I said, I know you are. And
that's not a bad thing to say to a celebrity.
All right. No, there was a
did
moment.
You feel foolish after you said it?
Of course, there was a moment. And as it turns out, how you want to feel old, he was there with his grown-up daughter. And, you know, said, my daughter is a fan of the show. Would you know? So I'm like, yes, hi, how are you?
It's a local celebrity or a national celebrity?
I think it's a national celebrity.
Yes.
So he's a national celebrity.
Wow, I'm dying.
Okay, I'll give you. You'll get it on the first hint.
Okay, well, give me a subtle hint, and
well,
I'm
Rob,
waiting.
Then you said to him that you love his work on Deal or No Deal.
No, it wasn't Howie Mandel.
It wasn't Howie. That was Chuck Willery.
Here's the clue, and Mike, I guarantee you, Mike will get this right now. Mike is my man. He will get this. Mm-hmm. Ross, that's tremendous news.
Senator Fred Thompson.
Senator Fred Thompson.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
That is exciting news, Ross.
So we're standing.
This is terribly exciting.
Don? Yes.
Was there a charity due at the restaurant?
No, he was there with his family. With I guess his kids and his grandkids. And
I would get the impression he is a tremendously impressive figure to me personally.
Well, first off, he's skinnier than I thought. Mm. And it
tall?
Was, you know, yeah. So we stood there for a second. Hi. They bring us inside the restaurant, and he's sitting a couple of tables away from us. Now, my girlfriend, she can see and hear everything, but from where I'm at...
Did you meet his daughter, Marilyn? It's a local radio joke. That's a local radio joke I had to.
So at one point she says to me, can you hear him? He's over there really pontificating.
And well, now, I bet he's got a booming voice.
Now, it's a loud restaurant to begin with on Saturday night. But what he's doing, this is funny. I hope I don't embarrass him. Well, okay, he doesn't remember any of this. I can hear him. She says, listen, he's talking about raising kids. Listen to his speaking voice. And it's something like, when you raise children in the modern age is that you teach them that there's evil in the world, but there's good people to take the evil in the world. Oh, my God, what's going on here? And at that point, she says, turn and look. So I peek around the corner, and he has his adorable, I guess, grandchild on his lap. And at the Palm, if you order a glass of wine, what they do is they take a bottle of wine, and they put it in one big, gigantic glass.
Very tall.
Well, the kid or somebody...
Oh, so it was a super big wine glass?
Yeah, had the little arms, like, you know, flailing around like this, and... The thing...
Was the senator enjoying a little of the grape?
I don't know who was at the table.
Okay, all right.
But this thing went teats up, and I mean, it was like a scene from The Godfather. It was red everywhere.
Oh, red wine!
He's got on the tanned, early summer suit.
Like the old Southern senator suit.
And like 8,000 waiters come running over, and they've
all got... This is terribly stained, Ross.
You know, they're all trying to sop him up and stuff.
Sure.
And...
I will never come here again. And incidentally, for those of you that, when you're not, please don't send the letters. Yes, the Fred Thompson is the Dr. Phil. Thank you very much.
Same words. No, hold on. They're very similar. Because here's Dr. Phil.
You know what? This is crap.
Okay, and then
we're going to stop this. We're just going to stop this.
And here's the guy that we're talking about, Fred Thompson.
Robinson's residence.
Jim, is this a bad time?
No, just dressing.
That's him.
Going to a charity do. What's happening?
Rat.
Are you serious? That is one tremendous step, Ross. Really tremendous. But tomorrow's fine. Absolutely. Well, come ahead. Now, we'll be in Connecticut the whole weekend. This is terribly exciting. I can't tell you how pleased I am that you thought to call me first.
There he is. So
yeah, I can't tell you how pleased I am that I have a good Korean dry cleaner.
Anyway, so, you
that's
know,
very cool.
She thought, my girlfriend thought I'm an idiot because, you know, I'm a star effer.
So he came to you, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but Mike, it was so, as we were walking in, it was like really, really, literally 30 seconds.
Right.
While he's waiting for his table, you know. So while we're in there, I'm picking up my cell, and she's like, what are you doing? And it's loud, noisy Saturday night. I'm calling Rob.
Yep.
I got to call Rob. And I got to sound like this. Rob, you're not going to believe. I'm sitting at the table.
Yeah. You're not going to believe who just said hello to me. See if you can guess. Okay, here's your clue. Rolls, that's outstanding news. That's right.
So I hang up, and then, you know, she's already giving me the hairy eyeball. She said, and you told me not to embarrass it. I said, hold on just a second. My next call is, hello, Bart? And all of this while I'm at the table.
Well, it's one of our cult. Is it not one of our cult movies?
Yes.
Would it not be part of the
Barbarians at the Gate, even though the guy's famous for being on Law and Order.
Right, right. Barbarians at the Gate is one of our favorite movies.
So I call Bart up, and I say, Bart, you're not going to believe it. You know, same thing. And then when I dial the phone the third time, she's like, who are you calling now? Said, oh, I'm going to call Amy. She said, oh. Don't bother that. She's getting three little kids to bed. What are you going to tell her somebody that you met? She's not even going to. I said, no. So it's like, hello, Amy.
Did she track with it?
Can you hear me? Hello? Fred Thompson. Well, he's on Law and Order. Do you ever watch Law and Order? Oh, all right. I'll call you back. Bye. And then she's like, aren't you going to call Mike? I said, Mike is sick. Right. So. And then we went down the list and thought about calling Buzz, but knew that Saturday night, you know, the last place I'm going to catch Buzz is at home.
I was just true.
I was in group.
And is there any reason that your hand is over your chest?
No, I'm scratching my nipple.
It was right by your heart there.
I'm sorry about that.
And I think if she will allow it, I'm going to let Adrian on the air here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Only because... She had something happen to her. I know the things happen to me where I run into people in stories who piss me off or just people who I don't think live the right way. And, you know, it's kind of like a Larry David thing. It kind of really follows me around. I don't make this crap up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was, and I was not with her, but she had a situation. She called me on her cell phone, and she was out on Saturday at this, at a grocery store. Okay, Rob, would you pick that up and ask her if she'd like to come on the air? You know, because I think I said it one time, I didn't want to put her on the air because I don't want to have like a free relationship. And this is really not a free relationship thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get on and discuss every part of my personal life with this chick with you. But it's just when I said it.
If something that happened to her or happened to you?
Happened to her. But it sure does sound like it could happen to me.
Wow. Okay. Okay. It's just from hanging out with you.
She told me.
She sounds really happy.
Will you shut up? Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Fine.
Hi, Adrian. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi.
That's my mic's alive, incidentally.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good news.
I'm very happy to be alive.
Now.
We all are.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I did want you to tell everybody, because it sounds like something that I would come in with on a Monday, and people would say, blow this out of proportion. Can you tell people in 60 seconds what happened to you at Wegmans?
With the Stalkers?
Yes, this is a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Here's my girlfriend. 60 seconds. Go.
Okay. I was going to Wegmans to pick up the items for that meal that I make you. And I walk into a store, and as I was walking in the parking lot, there were two women coming out with a little boy, and he's about four. And he was grabbing at his pants and walking with his knees locked together, crying that he had to go to the bathroom. And I looked at these women, and I'm thinking, okay, I know where the bathroom is in this store. And I didn't say anything. I just looked at her, and I just went, and then... proceeded to go to the store. They came after me, and they said, you have a problem. And I said, well, it's obvious your boy has to go to the bathroom, and it's right inside the door. And they said, what right do you have to judge us as a mother? And I said, I'm not judging you. I just said to you, future candidate of Mother of the Year. And I went and did my thing. And I'm in there shopping. I came out 45 minutes later, and they were waiting for me.
Ooh.
In the spot.
Ooh. In the parking lot. Now,
45 minutes.
Oh, and we're out of time.
Oh, no, no, no. You got to give her at least a 10-second. I want. They came charging at you.
You have to know that, well, she calls me up. She says she's upset because...
Oh, my God, I'd be terrified.
They've blocked her in. They've taken their car, and they've blocked... Okay.
God, I have a question.
Sweetie, I'll give you 30 extra seconds.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Were they clamp it like?
No, they were like grown-up versions of Wednesday from the Addams
Family. So they're a little goth.
Okay. 30 more seconds. Go ahead. When they were...
I mean, they just really just stood, they were literally, inches away from me. They grabbed my cart, and they were pointing at me, and I started warning them, I'm going to warn you once, step away. And then they started threatening me, I have no idea who they are, and they were making the phone calls, and they were calling the police, and, someone who heard everything came up and gave me their name and number, and they said, you've done nothing wrong here, if anything they have. And I really couldn't leave because they had me blocked in, so I had to go get security.
Wow.
So it was quite an interesting event.
So, to paraphrase, because that sounds like something that would happen to me.
Yeah.
She's going into the store. She says to the mom that, there's a bathroom right there. The lady says, yeah. So she goes mother of the year, walks away. Comes out. People have waited for 45 minutes. And incidentally, the kid had not gone to the bathroom in 45 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And they had him because she was upset how I upset her son by saying that.
By saying mother of the year?
No, in the car. Yeah. And I said, you've been waiting here 45 minutes. Your little boy is in the car. You're so concerned about what impression you're trying to make. I said, your door is open. He's in the front row seat watching you and his aunt attack me.
She had to go in the store and get the Wegmans, the grocery store security guy.
Yeah.
They carry weapons, I understand.
To come out.
Well, they were big men. Both men that came out were they looked like football players.
Well, they get all the access to those free groceries.
See, it happens to it happens to other people, not just to me.
Amazing.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. Scary, I would think.
I was telling everybody.
You know what that is? That's grocery store rage.
Very, very briefly, I was mentioning that we spent a couple of nights together over the weekend for the first time, and you got a taste of some of my early Sunday morning charm.
Oh, you're wonderful.
You're such a liar. What I want to know is when that phase is going to wear off. I got up at 5. Sunday morning, 5 o'clock, I can't help it. It's like, when I'm awake, I'm awake. I said, do you want to sleep? She says, no, I'll get up with you. And it's like, I know that's BS. I know that's
crap. Well, you talked for an hour.
What?
You're going to go back. And finally at 6, you threw up the white flag and just got up and started your day.
Okay, well, there she is.
Yeah, but you were very kind because you offered to take care of all the boys, and I said, no, I'll take care of them. So it was nice.
That's all of the boys that I have living down in my crawl space.
Now it's confirmed, Buzz.
Yeah, I hear.
All right.
The boys.
Okay, all right, goodbye. I'll talk to you tonight.
Okay, bye.
Okay, all right, goodbye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Yes, the best of Don and Mike. Well, welcome back, everybody. Don and Mike, best of, is almost over. But don't forget to go, for everything Don and Mike, go to Don and Mike website,
ArizonaNexus.com.
And I've been your host, the legendary Joe Ardinger, with you. It's time for me to get out of here, but not before playing one more segment. That's right, one more segment. And, I've forgotten what it's about. So let's find out together, shall we? And I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, crazy horses. Who didn't watch? Who didn't watch last night? We've all got an opinion about 24. I think most of us agree it was pretty good.
Yeah. If you're able to suspend disbelief, it was one of those type of episodes.
Sure, yeah.
It was pretty intense.
Just got to tell you that I'm reading today in the Washington Post.
What do they say?
Lisa DeMores, we've tooled on before. She writes about what happened on 24. I mean, she writes, here's the season's dead on 24.
The season's dead. Bring out your dead.
Michelle, her husband, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michelle Desler and Tony
Almeida.
Walt Cummings, the guy who was hanged.
Right.
Of course.
Murdered.
Edgar Stiles, the
nerve gas.
Right. Lynn McGill, the guy from Lord of the Rings, who's also
nerve gas.
Right. And then she writes, and Defense Secretary James Heller, who drove off a cliff as he was about to be killed by helicopter-wielding terrorists.
No.
Now, if you remember, Audrey Raines was told by Jack Bauer and the people at CTU that her father had survived.
Okay. Told specifically that he was in ICU.
The lady who writes the TV column for the Washington Post says that William Devane's character is dead, and he was not featured last night on the show. What's happening, Devane?
I'm not happy, Jack. I'm shitting over here, and I will tell you right now, I've been completely boycotted. I'm a depressed man.
Sure.
I could have saved the country, and I should have been featured in at least one of the last three episodes. But no, off the cliff I go. And that little chippy who writes for the Washington Post doesn't understand what the Devaniacs understand. I was not killed off. I was sent to the ICU. I actually survived. I'm flipping upset. That's all there is to it. How can you have President Logan arrested by federal marshals? Meanwhile, I'm still lying, dying in a hospital bed. It's inconceivable, and it's also classified.
Now, do you have any links to China? Because apparently it's the Chinese.
Aha!
They got Jack Bauer on a boat to Shanghai.
And now we're talking, Jack. Now you've put your finger on something very significant.
Yeah.
I'm going to say to everybody in your listening audience
right.
that there's only one member of the administration who has expertise in the area of Asian affairs, and that is Secretary Heller, mm-hmm. otherwise known as yours truly, Bill Devane. And I'd like to say to the Devaniacs, if you'd like to see me on the following episodes of 24, when Jack, who's clinging to life, I should say, yeah. barely surviving, what you have to do, get the Devaniac phone tree and make sure you share with all the Devaniacs the fact that I've got to come back to save not only the show 24, but the country, Jack.
But hold on. The country is saved now. The bad president was arrested. They already have said that the new vice president will take over.
Let me throw this out at you.
We got the nerve gas.
How about this?
Yeah.
No. How about this?
Okay.
Maybe my ICU hospital bed is on that flipping boat that says Shanghai on the back of it.
Your hospital bed would not be on a big cargo ship.
The most
to Shanghai.
Important mission I will have in the following episodes of 24 will be to extricate Jack from China, because otherwise they are going to murder him.
You must have been.
What they're going to do is play with him like he's a human voodoo doll.
You know, I thought you were.
He's going to be a pincushion, Jack.
Your spot on the show last night
yes?
was taken by the addition of Chloe O'Brien's British husband.
That bastard! What does he do except mumble his lines? I'm a TV veteran. He has no experience to speak of. Have you ever seen him in anything? No, you haven't.
You know,
have you ever seen me in anything?
Knots Landing.
And I played a Kennedy. I played the president, Jack Kennedy. That's what Bill Devane does. Mm-hmm. But no, let's bring the British bald guy on to hang out with the retarded girl who erased the evidence against President Logan. It's a travesty, Jack,
you don't
and I'm
like
not going to sit here and stand for it. And I'll tell you, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to use every resource. Excuse me. My upper plate has slipped a little bit. I'm going to use every resource, Jack, at my disposal to make sure that I get back in that administration and I thrive on 24. I will flip and blow your mind with my Devane karate. Do you realize that? How many of those characters, and I include Blondie, Sutherland?
Yeah.
I include him in that. Is he a master? Is he a master? Is he a master of the martial arts as I am? Does he practice taekwondo?
You're not a master of the
martial
arts.
Does he get up in the morning and after he brushes his teeth? A process that takes 3 hours, I should add. Does he practice tai chi?
You're a soft old Hollywood actor. That's fine with me, but I mean...
I urge everyone to watch William Devane on 24 next year and get ready for some real hardcore kung fu action.
Wow. Now, what are you going to do? If it comes down to it, and you don't get the call back when they start filming the new season,
I'm going to sue the network.
Yeah. Sue Fox?
I'll sue Fox.
Good for you.
If that's the case, what I will do is I not only will sue Fox, but look for me to barge onto the set when that candy-ass Shepard Smith's delivering one of his news bulletins. And then I'll show him what for. You know, this mane of Devane hair is going to be seen on primetime network television, Jack. Or my name is not William Devane, Secretary Heller, if you will. I can bust a brick with my flippin' fists of fury. Seriously, you see this forehead? This is an experienced Hollywood insider forehead that can break a cinder block as easy as I can say Jack Spratt.
I think.
What do you think of that?
And George Hamilton could kick your ass.
Season 6. Season 6 will feature my judo skills and a newly shaved head. That's right. That's what I'm going to do to compete with Chloe's husband. I'm shaving my own head. Won't that look? I'll look better than Lex Luthor. Kevin Spacey, that fag's got nothing on me. It's going to be very exciting. Here's the plot. I've submitted several scripts to the producers, and I've got them with me in my valise.
What's your judo joke? Don't you have some judo joke about
it's
bagels?
It's a Karnak joke. Judo.
Yeah. Pardon me.
Bagels made up.
What's excuse judo. Me. I'm personally offended by that kind of humor. I don't appreciate you taking my segment where I'm going to read some scenarios from my various treatments that I've submitted to the network for season 6 of 24.
Oh, that you have submitted.
Yes.
This is not the network coming to you. This is you going to the network.
We all know that Jack Bauer's been, and here's the thing, they're not idiots, shanghaied. He's been taken to China on a boat where they're going to beat him like a redheaded stepchild.
The boat says Shanghai on it.
Secretary Heller, here it is. Page 1 on season 6 or 24. Season 6 features Secretary Heller going to China in his specially outfitted submarine. Getting to China and rescuing Jack from the Chinese terrorists.
That's your idea?
That's one of them. I have several. One of the things you have to understand when you're a Hollywood insider, Jack, is you've got to give all these people options. Season 6. Episode 2, Secretary Heller, along with his daughter, Audrey Range, get into special superhero suits and fly to China, where they release Jack and turn him over to the vice president, who will now be the president.
That's not going to work.
My new trademark will be a karate outfit. I strike a pose and yell, hi-ya! There you go. It's Bill Devane against the ninjas. This can't miss. Season 6, Episode 3, I swim to China and speak to fish. Give me a break, Don. And I'm using your real name now, Jack.
I think Mike Novak is a guaranteed comeback.
It's Novak. For the love of Christ, get the man's name right, all right?
What are you insane?
And listen, I'm not. Are you insane? That is classified.
Uh-huh.
Here's the sensitive episode.
Yeah.
If they can't go for all the ninja karate stuff, Bill Devane's got an even better idea.
Okay.
I get together with Secret Service Agent Aaron.
He'll be back.
And we do a veto number.
Yes.
We have a gay love affair.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Bye, Bill.
Oh, I didn't mean for that to happen. Let me back in.
I didn't mean for that to happen.
Shut him
we
out.
Have so many goddamn buttons there.
In a world where only radio was strictly forbidden,
why did you escort me out? Don't you know who I am? I'm Bill Devane. In some circles, Jack, that's Hollywood royalty.
Uh-huh.
Something you might want to remember. Next time you're pushing your buttons. Very good.
Mike Novak is coming. Mike Novak is coming back.
Right.
The Aaron Pierce, the Secret Service guy is coming back.
All I ask is
Chloe's coming back.
And not CBS.
Bill's coming back, the guy that runs CTU. Oh, and how about when he put the hit on that George Washington-looking woman, that big linebacker?
Yeah. Totally unbelievable. You know what would have been credible? If I hit on her. We're both closer in age.
Mm-hmm.
I said that to the producers. They were having nothing of it.
Huh.
Why don't we have a scene? Open up. Scene. The last episode of season 5 in 24 opens with a long shot of a bedroom. And it's Secretary Heller in bed with the head of Homeland Security. It would have worked beautifully. But you know what they are?
What?
They're candy stripers. That's what they are. They don't know who I am. Bill Devane, television royalty.
You're flipping Bill Devane.
I'd like to see Gene Smart.
tease my divan.
We will be right back.
Two men side by side for 20 years. Such devotion makes me choke back tears. But listen, there ain't nothing brought back here. Thought that I should make that very clear. It's a party without the beer. I love driving home with Dawn and Mike. They simply make my day more bright. And no matter if my wife's at home, I ain't going back till I'm finished with the show. I ain't going back till I'm finished with the show. Even wasn't Rob A. Reagan on TV. They used to talk about their lovers explicitly. Toning down for those wet blankets at the FCC. But it's still wild and free.
Sorry, we're out of time.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.